B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
And a good Wednesday morning to you. Seems like a Tuesday. For whatever reason, it's a Wednesday. You got halfway down the week. John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Our 6 a.m. hour is brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White is here for the pro, as they always are. Hopefully everybody made it by the storms and the wind. And it was intense yesterday afternoon. The wind supposedly today going to get like 35, 40 miles an hour. I guess all the leaves...
Get out your kites.
Guess all the leaves are going to come off the tree. Cannot fly a kite.
I haven't tried it in 20 years.
I have never been able to get kite flying down.
Really?
Someone else can get it up in the air way high for me.
You can't get it up?
No, I cannot. I'm going to call Dr. Avidan Appel to help me with that. Mm. The strength, you know, I want to be able to rise to the occasion.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. You all can fly kites.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't done it in 25 years.
Yeah, I'm not exactly out there on Saturdays trying to fly kites.
Down at the beach, that was always a great thing.
Hard. You put it up in the air and let the wind take control.
No, there always had to be like some throw it up in the air, then run, then pull the cord. And just never got it. Never. It's something I can't do.
Sounds like good YouTube content.
I was not able to do that. Down at the beach, though, that was great. Twilight at the beach.
Yeah.
People flying kites. Oh, my gosh. And all these people doing the dips, making it dip, making it do circles, and I could barely get it off the ground. Didn't work out well for me, much like the Sixers last night in New York, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Plenty of that coming your way. You know the difference between a Brandon Staley, the coach of the Chargers, and a Nick Sirianni? Well, we heard yesterday in the Anthony Gargano show that one wanted to be here. Only one of them had multiple options. That's probably the reason why we got Nick Sirianni and didn't get Brandon Staley. The guy with multiple options saw more attractive outposts for him. You heard Jeff McClain yesterday reporting he didn't dig the power structure in Philadelphia. And it appears many other top candidates don't either whenever there is a coaching search. And that's how you end up with the happy-to-be-there candidate instead of getting the hot candidate. Now, let me be clear. Andy Reid and Doug Peterson were both not hot candidates. In fact, when they were hired by the Eagles, they were up for no other head coaching jobs. And I think they both really, really worked out. But they also looked like they belonged as head coaches from the beginning, quickly. That's why I believe the current power structure doesn't work here, unless you're looking for yes men. And I don't want to insult Nick Sirianni and say that he is just a yes man. But one thing is clear, in NFL circles, having Howie Roseman as your general manager under Jeffrey Lurie, your owner, doesn't work if you want to get the best in the business to take your job. Whether Nick Sirianni becomes that one of those guys, much like Andy Reid has, a legend, or as Doug Peterson did, a Super Bowl champion, I don't know. But right now, it sure as hell looks much different to me than those guys in their previous candidacy. And that's where we begin the 6 o'clock hour with Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, the coach Eric Camille. We got Heavy Chevy directing on YouTube, and we got Connor Thomas answering your calls at 610-632-0975. It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Hearing Jeff McClain yesterday with Anthony and his reporting, too, about Brandon Staley. And Staley will be coming to town, by the way, next weekend. Very interesting to me how, Bob, I guess when there's a job opening, you find out who didn't want the job, who didn't even want to interview for the job, and why. And when you hear that the power structure, the reporting structure, is one of the reasons that people shy away, that's an issue. That's an issue, and it's going to be an issue again, potentially, if this guy doesn't work out.
Yeah, and Jamie said over and over that if Sirianni doesn't work out, Howie Roseman has to go hand in hand with that not working out, right? Do you let Howie Roseman hire his fourth head coach?
No.
So, you know, I guess they'll let this play out. But it's funny because you listen to Staley talk. My God, the guy sounds brilliant. I mean, he went on that dissertation about a running game a few weeks ago that we talked about. And he just sounded like a logical, very smart football guy.
Yes.
How did Nick Sirianni doing his interview is still baffling to all of us. We bring it up a lot. Like, what did he do in an interview that really made Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie say, this has to be the guy? I don't know. Maybe he did interview really well, and some guys that may be qualified don't interview well, whatever it may be. But, yeah, if Philadelphia isn't a wanted landing spot, Jeffrey Lurie needs to change some things quickly.
I bet you he said this in the interview a lot. And again, I don't want to insult the man, but I believe he said a lot of, okay, is it all right if I interfere? Is it all right if I have a lot of say? Is it all right if I'm telling you who's on your roster? Is it all right if I tell you who I want to be active? Okay. That's what I'm believing now might have gone on with Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty concerning when you see Staley, who's probably your coach of the year winner as of right now.
As of right now.
Yeah, which, you know, and that can obviously change.
Cliff Kingsbury might be.
Sure, Kingsbury's definitely there too. Him, Kellen Moore, Brian Daboll. And Kellen Moore and Daboll will probably be hot names this offseason.
Yes.
All pretty much said, nah, we're good. That's pretty concerning. Because it's not just one guy. Kellen Moore is going to have his choice, most likely. I think Dallas might even try to protect him in-house. Yikes. Because that means word's out around the league that the head coach is kind of a figurehead position. And that's horrifying. That's really troubling if you're Jeffrey Lurie and you know that that's the word out around about your organization.
Question is, Pat, do you blame Howie Roseman for this, or do you blame Jeffrey Lurie for this? Because I put the blame at Jeffrey Lurie's door.
Yeah.
Because he's the one letting it happen, and it's not NFL best practice.
Why can't we blame both?
Why
we can.
Not both?
Oh, no, we can. Go for it.
Yeah, I think it's both of them. I think these are two peas in a pod. I think that Howie is sitting there just going, yeah, no, that's a great idea. Yeah, that's great. No, this guy's the guy. And Jeffrey, who's gotten more hands-on since they won the Super Bowl, even though he's clearly not really a football front office guy, is making a decision that he's made in the past of hiring a guy that was on no one's radar. Now, in the past, it's worked out, but eventually it's going to burn you. And you're right. Like, Nick Sirianni looks like a guy who's just happy his key card works. He was so happy to get the title of head coach. He was willing to do whatever it takes, whether that be giving up power, whether that be the roster moves. He was just so happy to be here. And eventually you're going to get burned by that philosophy.
You're going to get burned by it. We're getting burned by it right now. And so I use the advice, Bob, of one of my old cohorts said to me many times, John, you put too much into, you start to get biased against hearing someone's voice. So I went back and I just read transcripts of Nick Sirianni talking to the media. And I got to tell you, I think I'm more aggravated reading it. That he really did blink on Sunday. He really did start to feel the heat. And his first reaction was to sort of subtly point the finger at somebody else. And it pisses me off. If I'm Jonathan Gannon, it really pisses me off. Because Gannon's already being thrown under the bus by his head coach. And that's a joke.
Yeah. And what's bothering me also is that he has to keep telling us that he's the head coach.
Yes.
Like, we know you're the head coach. We know that everything should fall on you. We're not going to sit here and do a show talking about firing Steichen or Gannon. We're not going to do that. We're going to do a show talking about the head coach because you're in control. We know that. You don't have to keep telling us. You really don't. You don't have to say, like, well, the defense has to be able to get the offense back on the field, but that's on me. We know it's on you. Like, we know. We're an intelligent fan base. We know that everything that happens with this organization right now on the field goes through you. Stop telling us. It's almost like these guys, and Gannett did it yesterday, and we'll get into that a little bit later, too. They keep telling us what they are, who they are, and what it's about. I don't care. Perform on the field. Stop telling us that you know what people say, but that's why I like us as a coaching staff, because we do this, and we do that. I don't care what you do. What I care about is final scores on Sunday. And so far, you've been dog bleep. and it's not changing. And quite frankly, I don't know if you two belong in this position, meaning Gannon and Sirianni. And look, I'm not being mean or saying, you know, I hate these guys or anything. I'm not. I'm honestly looking at it in an unbiased way, saying, sorry, you're underqualified. You've proven it. You're underqualified. You really don't belong here.
Jamie, it says to me, and hearing Nick Sirianni talk, and hearing Jonathan Gannon talk, I feel like these guys are actually impressed with themselves. Like, they still feel like, we got a great thing going here. I don't know what you people are being too tough, I don't know what you people aren't seeing. What you people aren't seeing is there's a lot of greatness behind this, and this is all going to come together. Sure, it may.
Yeah.
But when things are crappy, you got to own up and say, you know what, things have been really crappy. It's like they don't want to do that.
Yeah, it's almost like they sniff themselves a little bit. I mean, there's not a ton of guys at that age that get hired for these positions. So maybe they started believing they, you know, we always go back to Ted Lasso. Maybe they started believing they were Nate, you know.
Right.
Like that, if you guys don't watch the show, he's an assistant that thinks he's the big shot and the wunderkind and all that. So maybe they did start smelling themselves this summer going, yeah, look at us running an organization at age 38. We're the big bad MF.
Right.
You know, and reality punched them right in the face pretty quickly.
Is it punching them in the face or us?
Well, probably
us.
Fan
base is getting punched in the face.
They're getting pretty nice paychecks every 2 weeks. It's probably punching us more. But I said yesterday, look at Nick Sirianni. He looks like he's been through the ringer.
He really does.
It is setting in his eyes. He looks like he's aged. He looks, frankly, miserable.
And it's got to be hard, Pat. I mean, you know, these guys are, there's a lot of pressure on them, but I will give them credit. Instead of the other than Nick Sirianni pointing fingers very subtly at other people, they really do seem, they seem like they're very much impressed with themselves. Like they still, we got a plan here. Hey, we got a plan here. We're doing it.
Confidence is key, Johnny. It doesn't matter how bad you are or how ill-prepared your team looks. You know, as long as you can look yourself in the mirror and believe your own BS, because if you don't believe it, who will?
I can't believe the people in the room, though, Bob. And Bob, you've covered enough teams.
But if they're all happy to be there, where's the vet? It's Stoutland, and that's
look,
it.
Look, Jamie just pulling another one out of his pocket. I'll tell you, a week off, did you wonder? I never thought of that. There's a lot of people who are probably in there that they're coaching who are happy to be there.
You can hear it. I mean, they're talking about what their job is and how as a staff they, you know, get together and talk about it. And that's why we you know, dog mentality, blah, 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 blah. Stop giving us your resume. Stop talking to us about your resume.
Dog mentality.
Like, get out there and do a job that is comparable to you being a head coach in the National Football League or a defensive coordinator in the National Football League. Like, it's just, it's baffling to watch that they're trying to tell us, oh, look, we belong here. It's okay. We belong here.
Like,
say whatever you want. I don't give a crap about that. But show me on Sundays, and you haven't at all.
Look, we're doubling down on dog mentality.
That was
just the stupidest thing ever. I mean, seriously, I know the coaching staff gets there by 6. Because, by the way, reading the transcripts, he's told us that numerous times. We get to work by 6. Hey, Nick, we get to work by 5. We get to work by 5 in the morning. So we're beating you by an hour. Well, you know, we get to work by 6. This group is here by 6. We're putting in the time. Well, you know what? The time you're putting in is poorly used. Because it doesn't look like a well-coached team. So what you got to do is figure out not how to work more, how to work smarter. And I am of the belief there is not and I'm not saying an adult that they're children. There's not an adult coach in the room. There's not a guy 30 years in the NFL, 25 years in the NFL to look at them and say, you guys, I know you want to do all, you want to do all the high school Harry crap. It's about blocking and tackling. It's about basic program, being able to put together a team that is qualified to go. And Jamie, they're not there. They're not there.
Yeah, no, they're clearly not. I mean, even the nerds at PFF are ripping Jonathan Gannon's defense
really?
as the most vanilla defense
oh my God.
They've ever seen. The first step to being smarter, though, or working smarter, they've already established. And that's you have to double down on dog mentality. If you don't do that, you're not going to get any smarter.
It's just unbelievable. Hey, fuel up in the Wawa app and get 15 cents off per gallon. Just use the Wawa app to pay for your fuel and save through the month of October. You got to have a Wawa. So do it through the rest of the week. We have Halloween on Sunday.
Yeah.
Got your costume all, Jamie, ready to go on Sunday?
Oh, yeah.
Going to go out?
I'm going to look like a real idiot.
Now, what is Paige going to be?
She's going to be
going as yourself.
Going to be a baby.
She's going as the little aliens from Toy Story.
Oh, okay.
Skylar's Jesse. I'm Woody. Addie got a Buzz Lightyear T-shirt as she mans the house.
Oh, so, very, very good.
Yes.
Hey, beers with Bob tonight, 6 o'clock.
Yeah, me and Andrew, 6 to 7, we'll be here in studio tonight talking about a lot of things going on. If you didn't listen to Anthony yesterday, those guys are a little hot when it comes to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, they're a little hot.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, they're a little hot. They're feeling it very, very much. Young Jack feeling better there, Patty?
I will find out in about an hour.
That's a personal question. You fell for it.
Wow.
As a personal question, I got you.
It was.
I got you because you know you care so much about
your
son.
Come on.
See, I got him at 6:15 in the morning. Unlike
Nick Sirianni, I get to work at 7.
He did not say no personal questions. Got him. Got him.
Congratulations on your success.
Love you, Jack. The Knicks lose to the Sixers. I mean, excuse me, the Sixers lose to the Knicks.
I wish that was reality.
For Pete's sake.
Yesterday morning, I said to Bob, I grabbed the Parks Casino Sportsbook app, and I said, I am jumping all over the Knicks. Jumping all over them, and I did.
I wanted to bet them. Me and my cousin Tim were texting about it.
I hate betting against the Sixers.
I don't normally have a problem doing it, but last night I didn't want to.
I had no problem doing it. I thought that is exactly what we were going to get. Did I think, though, that Joel Embiid, is he allergic to the freaking paint? Honestly, what's going on in the first half? That was terrible last night.
They need a big man coach, and I've been saying this for 2 or 3 years now. They need a big man coach in the worst way. Joel Embiid doesn't know how to play a big man's game, and I'm not just going off of last night, but when you're a 7 foot, 7'2", 280-pound guy, and your finesse game leaves you because the other team knows how to defend, and that's a Tom Thibodeau team. They know how to defend. When your finesse game leaves you or isn't there one night, you need to play a power game that should come naturally to a 7 foot, 280-pound guy. He does not have a power game at all. You see it by him falling on the floor all the time. John, if you're 7'2", and you put your hand up in the air over your head, that takes you to about 9 feet, 2 inches. If I'm shooting a basketball, I only have 10 inches to go to the hoop. How many times do you see Joel Embiid shooting either from 9'2" or over near the basket?
Very rare.
I see this guy going into the lane, pump faking, then leaving his feet and double dipping and shooting the ball from his waist.
Yes.
I don't know what that is. Like, I don't know why this guy hasn't been taught, and I mean taught. I'm not even putting the blame so much on Joel Embiid. Taught how to play a power game. Go through people. When you pump fake, go up through people. He can't rebound in traffic well. You watch the rebounds he gets. He's mostly by himself. There is no power game to this man at all, and I blame the people that haven't hired a big man coach to teach him that, because if they had, and if he had that, this guy would be unstoppable. But instead, he stops himself with his lack of power game and falling down on the floor.
Oh, constant. Last night, he fell 3 times.
At least.
And he wouldn't go to the paint. He would not go to the paint. He's chucking up threes. What the hell's going on, Jamie? It's terrible basketball.
He's already hurt. I mean, I'm not trying to excuse make. The guy's already hurt. I mean, game one, he comes out with the same knee. I mean, what?
What's the story on the knee?
Is it the same knee?
I think
it's
so.
It's his right knee.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, what's the story?
Why did he have that taken care of in the offseason? I don't know. Obviously, he's just never, ever going to be healthy the way we want him to be healthy. Hence load management. But if it's game one, his quote last night after the game was, yeah, this is just something I'm going to have to tolerate and play through. Dude, it's the fourth game of the year.
Correct.
And I'm not blaming him. I mean, injuries happen.
Whoa. I am freaking blaming him.
If he didn't get it done during the offseason, then yes, there's blame to go around.
I am.
But it's the fourth game and you're talking about having to play through something? What the hell?
It's terrible.
It's game one he injured it or aggravated it.
Aggravated. I'll tell you, last night, the boys on TNT were not too shy.
Well,
he looked slow and...
He looked out of shape
last night. And Shaq said he looked fat.
They said it on the broadcast. He's doubled down. He's bending over at his waist. He's holding his knees. He got 7 shots off last night. I'm not going to claim to know much about basketball, but when my best player out there gets 7 shots in a game, are you kidding me? I would have had him had 7 shots in the first quarter.
I don't think he had a first half basket.
I don't want to say his desire to play and win and go and have the team go through him last night just wasn't there.
He looked like he was sweating honey mustard. Honestly.
Yeah, he was chugging Benadryl before the game.
It was not good.
Yeah, and for a guy that going into the season, all we heard from the team was how he was in the best shape of his life.
No, he isn't.
He was dialed in. 14, 22, 19, and 22 are his game logs. Like, he just has not been good, and this is one of the reasons I was concerned going into this year. I kept thinking it was going to be a down year because him not getting the surgery, like, I really feel like you're seeing the effects of that when he plays. He just does not look like the same guy we saw last year.
I can't find any answer from the Sixers where they've even been asked. And I went searching yesterday. Have they been asked? Has anyone asked the question at a press conference about what was, did Joel need surgery?
Did he pass on surgery?
Yeah, but I haven't read, I mean, I can't find it.
Yeah, when we came in here the day after their press, you know, media day,
right.
I said that to you guys, right? I said, did anybody ask him about his knee? Why?
Classified information all summer.
I mean, it's like there's nobody answering that question or even asking that question.
It was shortly after the picture playing tennis with Maury that it came out that, surgery's not happened. But even then, it was like below the radar, hush hush, just kind of leaked out there. No fanfare was made about it. No news on it. It was just weird.
Did Tyrese get tripped or did he get owned?
He got owned.
You think he tripped himself?
Well, yeah.
It looks like he tripped himself.
He got totally juked. Yeah.
I mean, that was a bad high. That's all over SportsCenter today. Yeah, and all over social media.
Yeah.
I didn't know if he was tripped, though. I was trying to give him some sort of the benefit of the doubt. I think he tripped himself.
Yeah. Look, they better, until this situation, the big situation, gets rectified, they better find somebody that can back him up or step in for him at the point guard spot, because you can't have a team running on a second-year point guard as much as this team is.
That would look like me if I was trying to defend Cooney on a power move. Be very much so.
Yeah, I'd probably do that.
Hey, the Royal Billiard and Recreation folks have been the Delaware Valley's ultimate game room store since 1982. They provide the best in pool tables, shuffleboard tables, foosball, darts, and other games online at royalbilliard.com. You'll hear from Jonathan Gannon coming up in the show. Not that he's any more insightful than the head coach, but we will hear something. Plus, it appears that there's one guy who doesn't seem like he's very competent, who's actually getting more love than Nick Sirianni. We'll get to know him a little better this week. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
It's Week 8 in FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge, wants you to get the most out of every play. They're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. Thursday night, it's a great night. Great opportunity to give it a try. Just bet a same-game parlay with 3 legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. We have a great Thursday night game this week. Green Bay at Arizona. Green Bay's getting 6.5. There's so many different things you can do with this, though. Look at the SGPs. Look at the alternate spreads. Maybe a first touchdown scorer you like. Or DeAndre Hopkins. Passing yards receiving over 64.5 might be something you want to lock in on. But you can lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. Sign up with promo code Bob to also receive 25-1 enhanced odds on any touchdown during the Sunday night matchup between Dallas and Minnesota. Win $125 on just a $5 bet. That's promo code Bob. 21 and older and present in Pennsylvania. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile or web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
My name is dog mentality. My name is dog mentality. My name is
John Kincaid's show on the Fanatic. Okay, who's responsible for this one?
Oh, DJ, shoot your shot. Connor Thomas.
Connor. Connor's on a roll with these things.
Yeah, Connor's doing the Lord's work.
Connor, that's fantastic. Absolutely awesome. That put a smile on my face at 6:31 in the morning here on the John Kincaid Show. Hopefully you are having a great day today. Might be a great day to hit your local PJ Willihan's. We welcome them into the Fanatic family as part of the John Kincaid Show and part of everything we got going on here.
I got confirmation yesterday that Paige, Skyler, my mom, and wife, they're all going to join the PJ's appearance in November.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
The babies will be on display. Come see the baby.
On 11-11.
Yeah. They're excited.
That is a wonderful thing.
That's our home field PJ's.
So your mama's coming.
Yeah.
So grandma will be there.
Yeah.
Is she grandma? Is she mama?
She's
what
E.
Is she? She's what?
E.
Just by her first letter of her name?
What? Yeah. So her name's Eileen.
Okay.
And my cousin Mike, when he was a baby, couldn't call her anything else other than E. So it just kind of stuck. So she's E.
Is Mike a smart man?
Very.
Oh. He turned out all right. Is that Mike who I met? Did I meet Mike? Is he the one I met
he's
at the
up
other
in Manhattan.
PJs?
Oh, no,
different
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's not his brother Tim you met.
That's his brother Tim.
Yes, but she's E, so he'll be in the house.
Pat, what is T-Dog?
She's Granny.
She's Granny?
Yeah.
She's Granny.
Yeah, Granny.
I remember when Betty did not have a grandchild till Olivia came along. And I said, Mom, well, what do you want to be called? She goes, you don't have to worry about it. I'm like, what do you want us to call you, Mom? You don't have to worry about it.
It's a big deal.
She can call me whatever she wants to call me. And I said, so if she wants to call you Betty, if she wants to call me Betty, she can call me Betty. And she doesn't need you to pick it out for her. I'm like, okay. And my daughter started going, Mom. And so Mom became
mom,
a thing.
Yeah.
And Mom is obviously something that up here, there's more Mom-Moms. Down there in the South, there was not. And people are like, what does she call her? I said, Mom. Because Betty would not allow me to say, oh, you want to be called Grandma? You don't worry about it.
I grew up with a Nana and a Grandma.
What do you have? What'd you have?
I only had a Grandma. I was born real late in life. We called her Mom.
I only had one. And Grandma. Because I only had one. The other three were dead at that point. So, and today, it just is a day. It's weird. It's a day. And I don't feel sad about it at all. I said, today is a year since my mom died. She died a year ago today. And I've told Bob sometimes. I said, I feel guilty that I've hardly shed a tear.
Well, she had a good life.
And she had a great life.
So you know that. And
she said, and she was like, don't you cry. If you cry when I'm gone, you're crying for yourself and you're being selfish. Because I had double knee replacement and a minor stroke, and I drove till I was 90. And I'm thinking to myself, she flew to her 90th birthday celebration in Vegas from Philly, unaccompanied, and took a connecting flight because American Airlines had problems, and she had to take a connecting flight.
It's awesome.
At 90.
Yeah,
we could all be so lucky to do that.
Yeah, I'm big on celebrating life.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Especially when a person that lasts that long. I always call it a good run.
A great run.
Yeah, I mean, my mom lived till almost 91 also, and, you know, it's a great run. So
that is a great run.
I look forward always to celebrating the life like you've done this past year, John.
Yeah, it's been fun. So it's, God bless you, Mama. Hope you're listening to the show, but I know you didn't listen to my shows when you were alive, so I know you're not listening in the great beyond. But the app would be a great way. I think the app works.
Yeah, sure.
If the app works in the afterlife, hopefully she's tuned in this morning. So, Dan Campbell, the head coach of the Detroit Lions.
The kneecap eater.
He's crazy.
Yeah.
He seems slightly crazy. Dan Campbell, I went and read because that's what I always like to do. I like to go to blog sites, websites that cover the NFL and look at what they're saying about the team that the Eagles are playing this week. If you go and read the stuff that is being said about Dan Campbell is not getting clowned like Nick Sirianni. Dan Campbell's getting applauded for his aggressiveness. Dan Campbell's getting applauded for creating a culture where the players are staying positive despite the fact that they're 0-7. Monday morning quarterback, the column in Sports Illustrated, said, how can you put a winless team number 18 in the rankings? Define power for me. If I'm a player, I'm calling my agent and telling him or her to get me on a plane to Michigan so I can bite some kneecaps, onsides kicks, wildly honest press conferences, an egalitarian brotherhood. That's true power. Dan Campbell for the win. Dan Campbell getting talked about where we sucked. That was, I'm going to give you a list of things that I pulled from Dan Campbell press conferences. We sucked, and that is on us. That was terrible coaching at that moment in the game. We thought we had a great plan, but like many great plans, sometimes they just crap out. Here's another one. I expect a lot more from the guys in this locker room, and I expect a lot more from myself. We're going to work our asses off to see that this thing improves. That wasn't a good call on my part. I should have known at that point that he was going to pull some things that I hadn't prepared for. We'd prepared for them, but I just wasn't ready to push the right buttons. They're not going to get me like that twice. I love the honesty of Dan Campbell. Bob, he flat out, this guy flat out says whether he's going to end up being successful or not, the players are staying positive. The players are staying upbeat and positive. His players aren't turning on him in the press. And maybe they're afraid to. but he's very honest about, he comes out and he's very honest about, yeah, we had a good plan on this. Oh, but we really screwed that one up.
Yeah, look, you can be a bad team and still have a good coach. You can. Sometimes your talent just isn't there. Their leading rusher, Jamal Williams, he's a fourth-round running back out of BYU.
Amen.
I mean, like, look, your leading receivers, I believe, are a tight end and a running back. I mean, he doesn't have horses there.
There's more talent in this town by far than the Lions have.
Could be. It could very well could be. You know, and when you don't have the talent, it's you can, as I said, you can still be a good coach but not get results. It appears that they're seeing good things from Campbell, but they're just not getting results because they don't have the talent. Here, you can question the talent, but my God, more so than anything, you can correctly question the head coaching and the coaching of your coordinators. Although the head coach is your coordinator.
I love being
able
to...
Wait, how does that work again?
I love the fact that he...
Me neither.
I love that he's willing to throw himself under the bus.
Yeah.
And that he says, like, they came out... They were getting applauded for the aggressive game plan he came out with against the Rams. And they had the lead. They had a two-score lead at one point. And now it eventually fell apart. But they were getting applauded across the NFL postgame shows and everything for a great game plan. Their only shot to beat the Rams was to roll the dice and go for it.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah, he seems like the type of guy that's going to keep a locker room together because he was in those locker rooms. He kind of knows what makes them tick. You know, I've read a couple things on the Lions, too, and it's always they fight hard. They fight hard. With the Eagles, you're not really seeing too much... it's not over the top fight. Like Jalen Reagor.
No, it's not.
Jalen Reagor, for example, and I'm not trying to single him out because I think he's like a bust or anything like that, but he loafs. He quits on routes. That catch he had on the third, I believe it was a third down near the goal line where he went up and got it. He was loafing on the route before Jalen Hurts scrambled to, like, he kind of sprinted to the spot because he had given up on his route. That type of stuff is concerning when you see it over and over and over again. That's the type of thing I don't expect to see from a Dan Campbell team because those guys are fighting for jobs and opportunities, and you know he's clearly got them motivated to play. I don't imagine seeing a Jalen Reagor loaf on routes constantly from that type of team. So, you know, that's pretty troubling if you're Nick Sirianni. It's now week 8 and that continues to happen.
Here's a Detroit Free Press from one of their Jeff McClains. Said, I feel dumb writing that I'm positive about an 0-7 team. He's doing a Q&A. I feel dumb that I'm writing positive stuff about a team that's 0-7. Normally, that would be reason to get out the pitchforks. But with this guy So many people are still buying in, and most importantly, 53 guys are.
Yeah, he's expressing confidence to those 53 guys, and that's the only thing that matters.
Nick Sirianni's not getting that.
No, Jonathan Gannon and Nick Sirianni are not getting confidence from their veteran players.
Pat, to me, he seems clownish a little bit, Dan Campbell, in some of the histrionics. But if guys who are covering their team say the guys are buying in and they're energized by him and they're still positive, that's something in his column.
Yeah, it's all that matters. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what we in the media think about what a coach is doing. If you start hearing that the locker room is buying into this guy and believing what he's selling, and that's what we started hearing about Doug. I mean, Doug was... Everything you heard about Nick Sirianni, you used to hear about Doug, and then you started hearing, no, like, this guy actually has a good pulse of the locker room. And Dan Campbell seems to have that pulse. Nick Sirianni is trying as desperately as he can to have a pulse of the locker room by buying T-shirts. But at the end of the day, if you don't have a clue, you start losing the locker room with guys like Kelsey.
Could it be, Bob, the ex-player, too?
Sure.
Like Dan Campbell?
Sure.
Yeah, definitely.
It absolutely can be. Yeah, you have respect.
Because he looks like a badass.
You have respect the minute you walk into the room for a guy that's been in, you know, put on the pads like you have, or the sneakers or the skates, whatever it may be. They get immediate respect. They know what you're going through firsthand. You know, Detroit, of the seven games that they've lost, the teams that they've played have a combined 30-17 record.
Amen.
So they've played some decent teams. And even when they haven't played teams that are all that good, Chicago, maybe a Minnesota, whatever, that's been on the road. So, you know, 0-7, yeah, that's not good. That's the worst you can be after seven games. But they played good opponents. And the fact that your team is still in it, that is a big, big thing for a head coach.
To the ex-player coach point, I mean, look at Doug's teams. Granted, they were successful, but there was never quit in those guys.
No.
I feel like it's harder to quit on a former player coach than it is, you know, some guy you just flat out don't respect.
Always hated how Doug had to remind you that he played in the league, though.
Yeah.
That became a crutch whenever he was challenged on his decision-making or something.
The last year.
Well, I played in the league.
Yeah. But he gave him Haagen-Dazs all the time, so that was pretty cool.
That would work around here.
Yeah, I'd be motivated for some ice cream.
Coach, that would work around here. You want a little better results?
I don't like Haagen-Dazs.
I'm not an
ice cream. I don't. Like, of all the ice creams, that's the low. Like,
oh, they're cookie and cream.
I like Haagen-Dazs.
I'd rather have a cookie.
With all due respect, I don't respect your dessert opinion because you ignore it.
I'm just saying, like, I'd rather go with Ben and Jerry's or Richmond's ice cream.
What about Breyer's?
Wawa ice cream. My favorite is like a Wawa, a little pint of Wawa.
Man, you're talking nonsense.
You'd rather go Ben and Jerry's? Because I tried to buy you Ben and Jerry's and you said no.
I said I would rather go there, but I just wasn't feeling it that night, Pat. I'm sorry.
I hate it when they fight. Hey, with NJ Diet, you lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days, and it's contractually guaranteed. With no shots, no hormones, no surgery, visit NJDiet.com. Flyers and the Oilers tonight at 10 on the Fanatic.
Haagen-Dazs. Who doesn't like Haagen-Dazs?
Why is this?
Weirdo.
Like, you've sat here and been in shock for the last 5 minutes.
Over Haagen-Dazs.
Because it's food. You're a food
I'm not
nut.
How about people who don't really like ice cream? Is that even worse? That's a worse offense.
That's crazy to me.
No, it makes
a nice late night Flyers drop with a bowl of ice cream.
Tears me up. No, I'd be.
Yeah, but you have a medical condition.
What do you mean?
Different. Like, you're lactose intolerant.
Yes.
It's a little bit different than
someone. It makes me feel like crap.
Like, both my best friends don't like ice cream.
Yeah.
They're psychopaths.
I do like ice cream, Pat.
And you're third?
I'm one of those two, right?
No.
Best friends?
No, you like ice cream.
Well, I was talking about the two guys in my wedding, but
there you go.
But yeah, you're up there.
You had two best men
up
too,
there?
Right?
I did, yeah.
I thought we made a proclamation this weekend in Las Vegas. I was your best friend ever.
Did you guys elope?
It's unbelievable.
I woke him up one day.
Hey, in Cooney's Corner, he says there's a recurring theme.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Look, I hit on it a little bit earlier, but I'd like to get into it a little bit deeper now. Listening to Rich Gannon talk yesterday. And
Rich Gannon?
Rich Gannon. Oh, my God.
It's Jonathan every time.
Gannon.
You know what,
When
I hear Rich Gannon talk, I always think, boy, he's smart. He should be a coach.
Oh, my God.
Even for a prep guy, yeah.
So, Jonathan Gannon, here I am busting on somebody on what they say, and I can't even get his name right every day. But please stop telling me that you guys are the coaches. Please.
Here we go.
we know this. We know you are the coaches. And Jonathan Gannon coming out yesterday and saying, yeah, we know the bad things. That's why us coaches, we all get together and we have game plans and we do it every day. And, okay, listen, it's done. It's much like you just said, John, about Doug Peterson. Stop telling me he used to play in the league. Stop telling us you're the coaches. You got the job.
We know you are.
You got the job. You don't have to keep selling yourself to us now. You have the job. Stop telling us you're the coach. Stop telling us you're you guys get together and talk. Just do your damn job. And that defense, and I texted you guys last night, watching that Eagles game over again and looking at some of the stuff that from the people that watched the All-22. We talked about Fletcher Cox yesterday and that he shouldn't put his coach under the bus. He had Fletcher Cox covering running backs coming out of the backfield.
I saw that.
Yep.
Like, what is... I'm sorry. I got to side with Fletcher on this one. What are you doing? We just talked about Joel Embiid standing too much out on the perimeter when he's 7'2", 280 pounds. Maybe he should get in the lane and play a power game. Doesn't Fletcher Cox have a pretty good power game that he's done in the NFL all over the years? And now you having him cover Josh Jacobs coming out of a backfield? And afterwards going like clapping his hands like, oh my God, I can't believe they have me doing this?
There's a difference, though. Joel Embiid can go to the hoop on his own.
Yeah.
Can say, disregard that. I'm taking it to the basket. Whereas Fletcher Cox is supposed to do what he's told.
Look, I was the first one on Fletcher Cox at the beginning of the season to say, like, look, it's not that he's getting doubled and that other players are playing better. He's not beating people one-on-one. Part of me is, okay, maybe that is the case, and Jonathan Gannon has to design something else because he's just not getting where he's supposed to be. But if your second design to help him out is, yeah, why don't you cover a running back? What in the holy hell is going on here? I mean, I'm watching passes yesterday where receivers are stopping and looking for passes, and you still have safeties and defensive backs going way out into the defensive backfield. I mean, it's just absolutely nuts. What the hell is going on here? I don't understand what this defensive scheme is, what the offensive scheme is, nor do I understand that these guys have to keep telling us that they're head coaches and offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators in this league.
They do not explain themselves well. They look overmatched. And I think it goes back to our first story this half hour, where you got a guy in Dan Campbell who's being talked about by national media and local media as enthusiastic, teacher, motivator, guys buying in. It's the exact opposite here.
There were times when I was covering teams that I saw what a coach was trying to do. I saw that he wanted A to go to B, B to go to C, and ultimately C would get either an open shot or make a good pass, whatever. And he would explain it and coach it. But the players weren't good enough. The C player, once he got the ball, he always messed it up, and therefore the play didn't work. Good design, good thought, called at the right time. And if you don't have the guys to execute, so be it. I don't see what these guys are trying to execute on either side of the ball.
Yeah, I don't understand the emphasis on putting so much responsibility on the linebacking core when it's the least invested in position ever. Alex Singleton is not an NFL starting caliber linebacker.
It's not fair to Alex Singleton.
It's not. I mean, you know, he's a backup player that for some reason was made captain. Yikes. You know, Eric Wilson's a guy you signed off of, you know, a scrap heap, more or less. And then you have these two young guys who are playing a little bit, but you're putting all the deep, like when you're playing this one deep zone coverage, you're putting a lot of emphasis on the middle of the field and saying, come and beat me. And I don't know why you're doing that.
I'll say it again. And it's something where you guys have only dealt with me for a year, but I've said it for my entire radio career. There's a reason why when a guy, and a lot of wise football people taught it to me, there's a reason why guys are on the street in the NFL. And it's rarely good. When you see a guy with it looks like they have a good resume and they're still sort of young and they got tread in the tire and good teams don't want them.
Yeah.
There's a reason why.
Now you're going
against.
There's
a reason why.
Yeah, and John, you said it earlier. You might learn an awful lot about Nick Sirianni this weekend,
yep,
even more because you're playing a team that seems to be inferior to you. If there's not something drawn up by Jonathan Gannon that makes any of us go, oh, okay, They're doing something a little bit different. I don't know what the hell this guy's doing. Jared Goff isn't good this year. They don't really have much of a running game. As I said to you before, their two leading receivers are a tight end and a running back. If he doesn't dial something up that makes us say, oh, okay, I see that all right.
I have a feeling Jared Goff's just going to tear them apart.
Well, if he can dink and dunk across the middle of the field all day, then he can do that.
How do you feel
it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm feeling the over on whatever the Jared Goff numbers are.
Yeah, not feeling... I don't know how you can't go into many games for the rest of the season feeling good.
No. This is the only game they'll be favored, most likely.
Well, they got Giants and Washington.
The home games.
And the Jets.
I think they'll be favored Giants at home, maybe the Jets. But I think they'll be favored Washington at home.
If Fitzpatrick's back by then, they might not be.
You never know. There you go.
Gardner Minshew
mania.
Did I say that?
Yes.
Minshew.
People like, I can't believe the amount of people are like, I am so excited to see if Gardner Minshew, he's got. Like, what are you freaking excited about?
He said that.
He's a career backup.
Oh my gosh. It's Eagles fans, just social media, you review the people that they can't wait to see Minshew get his shot. Mm-hmm. Really? What are you waiting for?
What
for? What do you think you're going to see? And what is it going to do? Is it going to cost you 7 or 8 positions in the draft? You win a couple meaningless games? What are you doing? He's not the answer long term, so what are you thinking about? All right, coming up, how bad are the Eagles? Well, this game's going to tell you a ton about that. Plus, more on last night's debacle in New York on the road. It's the John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. Your car, your SUV, your truck needs routine oil changes if you want maximum performance. You know your local Meineke? Of course you do. Your local Meineke is locally, independently owned and operated. And right now they're hiring, too, at Meineke.com/careers, not just for people who fix cars. You're going to love your local Meineke. Why? That locally owned and operated folks have got a full synthetic oil change for just $59.95, and it comes with a free tire rotation. The semi-synthetic oil change, just $29.95. Rely on Meineke for all the maintenance needs of your car, including brake service, and also, too, where you can get 50% off right now, brake pads and shoes. When you sign up for Meineke Rewards, you're also going to get free towing. It's the best customer service, the best value, locally owned. Trust Meineke. They're doing car care right. Call your local Meineke Center today and tell them Kincaid sent you in.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
7 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by my sportsbook app of choice, the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download at parkscasino.com/PA. Use the promo code Kincaid. Use the Kincaid promo code. Get that $500 risk-free bet. You will absolutely love it. Be some big games this weekend, some good college football, some NFL. We've got the NBA back. We had the World Series last night on. So plenty to wager on and discuss. By the way, I heard another person in our industry just flipping around channels saying, well, the Braves are up 1-0. Because, well, the Braves can still choke. And I'm like, when you win, and so I was saying to Connor earlier, when you're underdogs in the NLDS and underdogs in the NLCS and you get to the World Series, you cannot choke. You can't be a choker. He says, well, if you're up in a series and you lose, you can choke. I said, no, you can't. You can't choke if you were never expected to be somewhere.
If you're up 3-0, you can choke away a series.
If you get somewhere, though, you were never expected to be, you can't depict it as a choke. You've already beaten.
But if you establish a lead in that series, you can certainly choke it.
How about since the Cardinals? They are the heaviest underdog to make it to the World Series out of the National League in the last 40 years.
That makes me want to vomit.
The Cardinals did it the year that they went on that big winning streak and then beat the Phillies.
They do that every September.
And get on that
Chris
run.
Freaking Carpenter. Are you kidding me?
I'll never forget that series.
Are you kidding me? Baseball Justice does not let Roy Halladay lose to Chris freaking Carpenter.
And didn't Halladay give up a first inning run?
Yes, that was it.
Yep.
Raul had one that just missed the warning. God, that game was absolute torture.
That was an annoying.
You know,
and then Ryan Howard in a crumble.
I was there, and my heart broke for Ryan Howard.
I saw somebody put out the other day that, remember when the Phillies were two games up, and from then on the Phillies went something like 22 and 27, and the Braves went 31 and 17, and then they would go on to beat the Dodgers, who won 106 games. They go on to the World Series. I kind of agree with you, John, that when you're not expected to be someplace.
It's not a choke if you don't win.
Yeah.
Because you're not supposed to win.
Man, what about Charlie Morton last night?
Breaks his leg.
16 pitches with a broken leg.
He got 6 outs with a broken leg. The Phillies have 5 outs with a broken leg. The Phillies pitching staff, totally healthy. Some of these guys struggling to get 5 outs.
Yeah.
That was a big one last night. That's going to hurt, though. That's going to hurt them big time.
Yeah, it is. You needed him for another outing.
You want him for another outing because you can't go 2 bullpen games against the Astros.
No.
You know, maybe you can. Maybe they can pull it off. They haven't even blinked all year. There's no reason.
Charlie Morton did how many pitches?
16 pitches
with a broken leg.
We do 4 hours a day with an Egan.
That's a good point.
Come on, Charlie Morton. Nobody cares.
See,
wow,
Patty.
I'm not going to argue it. Yeah, it's an accurate statement.
There you go.
It hurts, but it's accurate.
Hey, when you think of a measuring stick game, it always tends to be an evaluation of how good your team is. When you use that term, well, this is the measuring stick game. It's rarely about how bad your team is. But this weekend's showdown between the winless Lions and the struggling Eagles certainly fits a bill, a completely different expectation. You enter the game saying, how bad can this season get? Spoiler alert, a 2-6 start can get much worse. If you don't win this weekend, the high-flying Chargers come in next week. Then there's a trip to Denver and then a visit from the Saints. You can easily see a just spilling over into a terrible tailspin. I don't want to wish for disaster because disaster is crappy to talk about. But I realize that this measuring stick game we've got on Sunday is different than we have seen in Philly football for more than a generation. How bad are the Eagles going into a game, not how good they are, in a measuring stick game? With Bob and Jamie and Pat and Coach and Connor and Mike, it's the John Kincaid Show and Pat Egan here on The Fanatic. It seems to me, Jamie, I can't even understand the idea of 0-2. That, you know, I mean, of these two teams, excuse me, watching two teams and saying how bad, which one's the worst team?
Yeah, that's always a good measuring stick. Which one sucks less?
Well, usually whenever you say measuring stick game, it's something good.
Yeah. No, this is going to be a measuring stick game of who's going to have a top 5 pick. The Lions, have the lead. Oddly, a Detroit win helps that Miami pick out.
It makes the Miami pick the number one pick in the draft if Miami loses this weekend.
Yeah, so... You know, if they were to lose, that's my solace. I think we all know it's a bad football team. I don't see where the improvement's really coming from at this point. There's too many holes on defense, coordinator, talent, all of it. Offense, maybe it changes some with Minshew down the line. Maybe Sirianni's offense doesn't look as bad. But there's no improvement coming to this team. I mean, it's not going to get better. So... I hate to say in week 8 that I don't really care who wins this weekend, but either way, it's like, okay.
Whoa. He just said something there. Bob, it better get better. It better get better over the last 10 games than what we've seen so far. And if it doesn't get better in the last 10 games over what we've seen so far, I want this man fired. And I don't want to call for anybody's job, but if this team doesn't play better over the last 10 games than they did in the first 7, I do want somebody fired.
I don't think we talked about it on air. I think it was when we were eating or something during this weekend that we said to somebody, where have the Eagles improved this year?
Nowhere.
I mean, it's a legitimate question, and it's something that you look for when a new coach comes in. Okay, you don't have the talent.
You're not going to win more than 5-6 games. We all know that. But something has to improve. You have to show me something that you're doing good for this football team that says, okay, Jordan Mailata got better during the season. The offensive line as a whole got better during the season. Jalen Hurts got better at this aspect of the game. Miles Sanders. You can go up and down the line. Guys have to improve somewhere. And I am not seeing it at all. So I agree with you. I don't call for jobs, John. No, I talked about that before. I would say this guy isn't qualified if nobody improves.
If nobody improves, this last 10 games, Pat, isn't a hell of a lot better than the first 7. And I'm not talking about results.
Yeah.
They could go out there and go 2-8 in the last 10, but if they look better, they're more competent, they play tough, they play smart, the veterans start getting used in the right way, then that all a completely different read on this guy and this staff.
That's kind of the end goal, is they just look like a competent football team. We all want the draft pick to be as high as possible.
Yes.
You know, you're if at this point, if you're winning games, it's really a detriment to you in the long run, but it's the fact that they're losing games and not looking like they have a clue while they're doing it. So, yeah, I mean, I can point to like one or two players that do look better than they did last year, but for the most part, Bob's right. This coaching staff hasn't improved any real area of the team.
No.
They can look better. I just mean that it's not going to get better.
No, well,
stylistically, they can look better, but it's not going to actually be better.
Guess what? If you play you saw them play the Rams this weekend. If you go watch the little 15-minute games where they just take out and they show you the big plays of the game and everything, you watch the Lions play the Rams. If the Eagles lost a game playing a team like the Rams, a Super Bowl challenger, and they went out and played like that against the Rams in LA, I would come in here on Monday and I would applaud it. And I'd say, they lost, but I loved it. I loved the plan. I loved the aggressiveness. I love that they look like they belonged on the field for better part of 3/4 of a game. I'd be proud. Sunday afternoon, I got to tell you, sitting in Las Vegas in that stadium, that pissed me off. I was pissed watching that game. Yeah, I just was like, this is a waste of my time. This is absolutely a waste of my time.
I'll expand that. I'm pissed watching this season. It's a waste of my time. Like I said, nobody is improving. You know, your sole purpose when you're in a rebuilding year is to improve upon what you're going to rebuild.
Correct.
It's not getting better. Look, that goes directly to Coach Jeffrey Lurie. If you're looking for this team in a rebuilding year and you have draft picks coming up, you need the guys that are going to be there for your rebuild to get better. This coaching staff is not making these players any better.
And that's why it annoyed me when Jamie came back from your baby sabbatical and you said, I don't know what people were expecting. This is what I expected. Nobody expected this. Nobody expected this season to be an abject disaster where wins and losses nobody was expecting, but we did not expect them to look incompetent.
Until last week, you know, the Dallas game was bad.
The Dallas game, they looked incompetent.
But Dallas is a much superior team. Oakland, I didn't think was that much superior, and they made them look incompetent.
Derek Carr heard you last week. He listened.
Well, you know, it's pretty easy for him.
With NJ Diet, you're going to lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days, and it's contractually guaranteed. No shots, no hormones, no surgery. Visit njdiet.com. Let's go to Springfield. Dennis is on the Fanatic. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning. I'm glad you ended up with the Detroit Ram game. Detroit was one golf interception away from winning that thing.
They were.
I mean, Aaron Donald and Ramsey came up. Their big players came up big when it mattered.
And they lost on a miracle play to Minnesota. They really did. They play tough.
And they lost on a 66-yard field goal to Baltimore.
Yes.
For crying out loud. And that kick shouldn't even have happened because there was a delay of game penalty before that. But Detroit is the better team. They looks like they play harder. They look like a professional team. The Eagles did not look like a professional team on Sunday. I'm sorry to admit it. I never try to downgrade my team or my coaches there for whatever. But they've been out of, it seems like, every game midway through the third quarter, and then the other team takes their foot off the pedal and they make the final score look halfway decent. But from what I've seen, Detroit's a better team. And well, how can the Eagles be a 3.5-point favorite when Cincinnati was a 3.5-point favorite 2 weeks ago?
Well, that's where the line smells, Dennis. And I can tell you, in that stadium on Sunday, and there was half the people, roughly half the crowd was Eagle fans. There was a lot of, and I don't want to say anger, it's not the right word, just resolution that this team just is atrocious.
It's becoming apathy. It is.
And that's a dangerous thing for a product.
It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. I was amazed that there wasn't more booing, that we didn't hear more. It was just
apathy.
It was apathy. It was, yeah, well, to Jamie's point almost, it's almost gotten to the point, well, this is what we're expecting week in and week out because we've seen the ineptness week in and week out.
Guys went to private luxury areas down, you know, to go and hang out in private luxury areas instead of watching the game, you know, with their cohorts. You know, I mean, it's like people got disoriented with it.
Yeah.
Right, Pat? I mean, that's sort of what happened.
Hanging out with Eagles, you know, Legends. Hall of Famers.
It was an adventure.
It was me and my best friend.
Yeah.
Just
going to the bathroom.
Just going where the wind takes us, Johnny.
Just going to the bathroom.
So it was.
Sometimes you just hop on a cloud and float around.
Heavy security be damned.
Heavy Chevy said, they went to the bathroom. Pat says they went to the bathroom. Chevy goes, that's the longest trick to the bathroom I've ever heard. And why'd they go together?
That's where it started.
I said, right, there was.
Bob needed it.
They had to freshen up.
Yeah.
Now, you're an ass.
What?
Lynch. Seriously, like, this is...
I could have applied to any one of us. I didn't know. Like, I looked up, too. I'm thinking, which one of
what
us?
What now? I just saw it on social media. Really? You put out there that I'm an idiot for not liking Häagen-Dazs ice cream. Okay, I don't like Häagen-Dazs. And then 2 seconds later goes, oh, I hate Breyers.
Breyers?
Yeah, Breyers.
Why don't you hate Breyers?
Can you get on me if you do the same thing?
So you like preservative ice cream. You don't like all natural ice creams. You like crap full of preservatives ice cream.
Häagen-Dazs is clearly superior to Breyers.
What?
Yeah, that's not the point. The point is you say you don't like Breyers.
It's unbelievable.
You get mad that I don't like Häagen-Dazs?
Ice cream is like sex. There's no like bad ice cream.
Well, you said you're getting
I'll eat Breyers
like
if it's in front of me, but Häagen-Dazs is clearly superior, Bob.
The folks from
that's not what you said.
You want chemicals. You want preservatives and chemicals and everything.
See, you went on social media to put me down to say, oh, Bob's an idiot. He doesn't like Häagen-Dazs. 2 seconds later, say, oh, I don't like Breyers.
I like it.
You're an ass.
At least this time he didn't scoop you on social media, taking your point of view and being able to use
Bob's
it.
Bob's upset because Breyers is probably getting bodied in the poll.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
Wait till
that really got out of hand fast.
Wait till tomorrow. This is Jamie Lynch, my friends at Breyers. You know, I was wrong.
My dad was a Breyers man.
Breyers is
I
great.
I grew up on Breyers.
Betty loved her Breyers.
Yeah.
I'm not going to turn Breyers down.
No, of course not.
She'd say, Betty would go, oh, by the way, you come over to eat. And she'd say, oh, by the way, I got ice cream in the fridge.
Oh, yeah.
I said, you know, I don't really like ice cream. Yeah, but I got butter pecan. I said, that's what Tommy likes. I said, your other son. I said, that must be. I said to my wife, too. She'll be like, oh, do you, I got this. I said, I don't like that. It must be your other husband. I don't know which one it is.
Heavy Chevy got the butter pecan.
He did? He did the butter pecan.
I treated him to ice cream.
There is good. At least you didn't say pecan. I'm very proud of you.
He said pecan. I go,
no, he didn't. Did he really?
He did. He went pecans. Geez.
Jamie, you say last night was the first night where you felt the absence of Ben Simmons.
Yeah, clearly.
Really was felt by the Sixers.
Big time. I mean, Shake Milton's injury right now is, I hate to say, killing this team because that's putting a lot of emphasis and trust in Shake Milton there. But they have one point guard. And it's Tyrese Maxey, who's in his second year.
Yes.
And that's a lot to ask of a kid in his second year. Last night, look, the Knicks had lost 15 in a row to the Sixers. Ben Simmons never lost to the Knicks in his career, which is pretty amazing. The talent that they were missing last night on the court jumped out to me in neon. They missed his transition pace of play last night. They missed his perimeter defense. We can talk all of there you was want no, about his deficiencies.
There was no perimeter defense last night.
He was missed in a big way on that court last night. And it's just, you know, if you can't move him for something else, I wonder how long they can tread water with where they're at. I mean, I think they'll be okay, but I don't think they're top four material if they have to go a whole season without him or a replacement for him.
Yeah, through the games that they've played so far, the Knicks have set an NBA record for most three-pointers taken or made. And that's, you know, that shows you what kind of team they are. So that's where you miss Ben Simmons first. Secondly, Tom Thibodeau plays a really good defense, specifically a really good half-court defense. When you go up against a team that plays a really good half-court defense, you look to run and get out on the run as much as you can. That's what Ben Simmons does best. So it was twofold and where you missed him so much last night. And I totally agree with Jamie. You can't go through 48 minutes of basketball with trying to rely on Tyrese Maxey for 38 minutes. You just can't do it. He's not ready for it yet.
So many open looks last night. And that was what was pissing me off.
Yeah, their
ball movement last night was excellent on offense.
Yeah.
They did a great job. And
they're a better team. They improved. Fournier and Kemba is big for them.
And that was my fear going into it yesterday. I said, I want to see which New York team they're closer to. Are they closer to the Nets or closer to the Knicks? God forbid they're behind both of them.
Well, I mean, they did outperform Brooklyn for the majority of that game. They just soiled themselves in the final 6 minutes. It was atrocious. I'm still not over Doc Rivers Friday night. Like has me shook to the core. Because if you saw that Kevin Durant it was beautiful defense by Danny Green. It was the type of veteran play that can steal you a win that was slipping away. And for him to have to rely on a bench coach to make that call, it happened right in front of your face. Some things you don't need to rely on other people for. That was one of them. It was obvious, as clear as day. The Durant out of bounds one. Okay,
that's
I can excuse that. The charge.
I absolutely can excuse that.
The charge was inexcusable.
Yeah.
It really has me shook on Doc, and I kind of understand his reputation more and more and more of letting games and leads slip away. He's got me shook.
It's that obvious, when you're constantly getting harped on about letting leads slip away and things like that, Bob, I would think that the minute you get one of those big leads, you'd be saying, the antennae go up and you go, okay, what have I done in the past that has screwed this up? Let's not have it happen.
Yeah, and that's a bad place to be, too. When you start thinking about, I have a big lead. You're playing not to lose. You know what? I would look at, all right, how did I get this big lead? I'm going to keep doing that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? There's a couple of concerning things also. Why is it that Seth Curry and Danny Green can just totally disappear
in
games?
Did Seth Curry play last night?
I mean, I just don't understand it. Danny Green went 19 minutes the other night with one shot. Seth Curry gets 4 points last night after being hot as hell and only got up 4 shots. I that part I don't understand either. And some of that could do with Ben Simmons also. But you have to get these guys open, and you have to get them out running and on the floor and find open spots.
Not a good night. For the Sixers.
And bringing Embiid back down nearly 20
what was that about?
5 minutes. Yeah, that was weird.
What the hell?
At that point, if you got a guy who's already claiming that he's hampered.
He's gassed out there. He's got an injured knee, and you're going to trot him out down 20?
I thank Jim, one of our fine listeners, who big Sixers fan. He does an amateur podcast and listens to us every morning. He said, John, he monitors the Sixers press corps, and he has not been able to find it himself. Anyone of the Sixers press corps on the record saying, what's the status of Joel Embiid from the offseason? What was the injury? Was surgery passed up? Let's go on. He can't find it.
I don't know how that hasn't been asked.
He goes, if you can't find it, I can't find it either.
How has that not been asked?
I don't know.
The guy game one.
I need to jump on a Zoom and then.
That nobody is. Nobody is asking.
Game one.
How is nobody asking? How is this guy hurt 4 games into the year?
I mean, Devon tweeted out a picture after the first game of him in the knee sleeve shooting free throws, and I went, what the hell? Why is this not a bigger deal? Friday night against Brooklyn, he was 50-50 up until game time.
It was not good.
This is not really good. Concerning.
It's going to be like this all year, guys.
Yep.
See, that sucks. That sucks.
All year. All career.
And how really? You ask how is it 4 games in? It's because he's never got healthy.
Well,
it's really easy when you don't get healthy to still be injured.
You heard Shaq last night. He looks out of shape. He looks tired. And he did not bring the fight to the game last night. He did not have dog mentality last night. He wouldn't even go to the. He wouldn't even enter the paint.
Dog mentality
in the first half. He would not enter the paint.
He didn't double down on dog mentality.
Oh, that was the problem.
He just had normal dog mentality. If he doubled down, he would have been ferocious.
And last, in the mentality. Blue paint. And last night, he could have been in the blue paint. He could have been there, and they could have been yelling it on the broadcast. It's another broadcast.
It's in the blue paint.
They yell that in the other broadcast. All right, coming up. It's one of my favorites.
Haagen-Dazs.
How dare you?
I've got something for you that will blow your mind as we drive around the NFL. Coming up. We'll take the drive around the league next. It's the John Kincaid Show, and you're on The Fanatic. Okay, everybody sounds a little stressed out. This football season has not been what we expected. So, you need a little massage, a little facial. There are 57 spas for hand and stone massage that you can go to in Philadelphia, Delaware, South Jersey, and the Lehigh Valley. And you can book online at handandstone.com to get your massage or your facial at just $69.95. Restrictions apply. I need you to see the spa for details. They've got the fantastic Swedish massages, the hot stone massage. And if you want to really have a romantic day, how about the couples massage? She's going to love it. They do facials, waxing, and more. I think Jamie gets waxed there occasionally. Gift cards are available at handandstone.com. You want to go in, it's relaxing, it's fun, and I can tell you, with the holidays coming up, get the gift card. It's a great, great gift. She's going to love it. You're going to love it, too. Go to handandstone.com and tell them John Kincaid sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Send some Febreze or something.
Haagen-Dazs is getting killed in your poll, Jamie.
Don't change the topic.
Don't you dare.
Bob came with the dog mentality today.
Puts a whole new meaning to blow it out your ass.
Much like your dog, Bob just rips right in the middle. I'm doing a fine read, and then he tries to tell me it's the chair.
My chair made a noise, and now you guys.
No, it did not.
Well, then come over here. You'll be able to tell it was my chair.
That's the problem that I think all of us have is the fact that Bob is such a yellow-bellied coward that he doesn't own it. Own it.
I mean, he just...
Don't sit there and act like we're idiots that we don't know what's going on.
He launched that like a Scud missile.
Be better.
And didn't even do that.
Forget it. We're not best friends anymore.
Unbelievable.
Good.
That's crazy. Okay. Oh, my God.
We're going to check the tape on that one.
It wasn't me. It was the chair. No, it wasn't. It was your ass.
That's unbelievable. All right. Before we get, I need you to all do something for this, before we get to the drive around the league. I need every single one of you to pull up a list of NFL head coaches. Okay? So get it on your device or something so you got it in front of you so you can scan the list. You can go to like Wikipedia, which is always correct, by the way.
It's a lovely list right here on ESPN.com.
I had, you know, there's so you can pull one up, okay? It is, it's time for the drive around the league.
Now, let's take a drive around the league with John Kincaid.
Presented by Tire Tech USA. $50 alignments, dealer quality service at a fraction of the cost.
Strap in. Here's John.
Okay, throw out every single rookie head coach this year, guy who has never coached before. So if there's a Nick Sirianni, or something. Throw them out.
Robert Saleh, okay, throw them Meyer. Out. I think there's seven rookies.
Yeah, I believe there's seven of them that have never coached before. So throw them out. I ask you, gentlemen, and I thank the folks from Between the White Lines that did a great, great study. Who is the coach most likely to score first by percentage in an NFL game of all the coaches who are not first-year coaches this year? Which of the coaches has scored first
this
in the
season?
Largest? No.
Oh, in
their careers. in their careers, they are the coach most likely to have their team score first. Bob?
I'll go Sean McDermott.
Sean McDermott.
I was going to go... Let's go Sean Payton.
Okay.
I'll go Sean McVay.
You just said three Seans.
That's bizarre.
One of you is correct. Sean McVay.
Way to go, Pat.
Whose team is most likely to score first? Pat gets a point.
Pat, you're so brilliant.
I know
you
are. I know football.
All
football
right. Guy. Largest by percentage. The coach most likely to be scored on first. To have his team trailing in a game by percentage.
And we're not talking first-year coaches.
Not first-year coaches. They're all out of the mix.
Matt Nagy. Joe Judge.
Joe Judge is mine, too. I will go with Brian Flores.
How about Bruce Arians? How about the coach most likely to have the more penalized team in the game? His team is the more penalized team in the game. And there's something shocking. I'll tell you about this coach afterwards.
Pete Carroll.
Mike McCarthy.
Bill Belichick.
Bob Cooney with the win, including...
Doesn't change what you did last break.
Including the Eagles are on pace or close to the pace of challenging the modern-day record for penalties held by Pete Carroll's Seahawks. The coach most likely to lead at halftime.
That I'll go with. I'll go Sean McDermott on that one also. I'll stick with Sean Payton again. He's got to be one of these.
Okay.
Clifford Kingsbury.
That's not bad, Pat, but it's not right. It's Mike Tomlin.
His press conference yesterday was awesome.
Mike Tomlin was absolutely awesome.
I love
yesterday.
Mike Tomlin.
This one for you here. The most successful season for a coach on average across the history of the NFL. Their best season averages out to be this season in their tenure. So if it's their, is it their first year's their best, their second year's their best, their third year's their best? Over their tenure, what do we find is the best year for an NFL coach? This is fascinating to me.
I'll say third.
That's what I was going to say, you son of a...
I'll go second.
Patty?
Well, I guess I have to go fourth because it's not going to be his first.
And Pat's right, the fourth year.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Fourth year averages out for coaches who have a longer tenure, especially that they last. The fourth year tends to be the year.
So?
Next
got
do
three
that.
More years.
Okay, if a coach coaches, if a coach has more than 5 years on their resume, so they have more than 5 years as a head coach, so you got to have a sixth year and beyond. When do they find the largest dip of their career?
10th.
7. You're 9.
You're 8. None of you got that one. But that was it was interesting to see, like, though. So even great coaches, guys who stick around the NFL, tend to have one of those years where you have the dip. What is the, for coaches with 10 plus years of tenure, this is a great one. Coaches 10 plus years of tenure in the NFL, what is the biggest dip that they ever have from wins to losses going down the next year, on average? I mean, the biggest dip that they ever had, on average. 10 years now. So we're talking about the best of the best guys.
The biggest dip they had in losses,
in one
I'll
year,
say.
In 1 year.
3.
Yeah. Damn, Bob. I'll go 4.
I will go 5.
Bobby stole it again. He got 3.
You son of a...
There you go.
Stop going to Bob first.
Just some interesting. Okay, well, I will I'll give you this one here, which is the absolute best. Is the most likely coach to find success in the NFL has college experience or not?
No.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
The most most successful coach, the most tenured, how about this? And this is, stolen. Head coaches, and you have to be a defensive or offensive coordinator. The most successful ones overwhelmingly have no college experience. So when you're thinking about hiring, there you go, the drive around the league. Some oddities coming your way from our friends at Tire Tech USA with those $50 alignments, dealer quality service, a fraction of the cost. Flyers at the Oilers tonight, 10 o'clock on the Fanatic. It will not be a Pat Egan-produced night.
Mm.
How are Coatsy and Tim going to survive?
They'll be thrilled.
Tyler Zuli will tell them how Penn State is going to try to recover.
So as a Zamboner, which way should I bet tonight? I'm thinking not the Flyers.
The Oilers look great to me.
Yeah.
They do.
They look really great.
I wouldn't bet it.
They really do.
Well, what if the Oilers are a lock?
I think the Flyers are a deeper offensive team, but their defense is going to struggle against the Oilers' top line.
The Flyers have a better offensive, like deeper offensive team.
Yeah, but the Oilers good. Have a worse goalie.
Yep.
Their goalie's terrible. Mike Smith sucks. It's good at handling a puck.
But what's the over-under number? That's one to check. Is that good? So, hey, college ads, student loans. If you have a high school senior is getting ready for college, you need to visit collegeav.com, the emotional support system. It'll help guide you through the college journey from start to finish. You sit down with your high school senior, like we did, and I said, okay, Liv, when you figure out what these colleges are offering you, if you need 20 grand for 4 years, if you need 10 grand for 4 years, if you need 30, here's what the cost would be to you when you graduate. So check out collegeav.com. They do a great, great work. What's the over under 5.5? In the game, did you?
Oh, I didn't actually get to it.
I'm thinking 5.5 will probably be the line, Pat.
That sounds about right.
It's usually about 5.5.
Edmonton's sharp, though. Edmonton is a really sharp club.
Yeah, if the Flyers need to stay out of the box, you can't put that team on the power play.
No. They were amazing. Hey, in Cooney's Corner, what do you do if this guy's not here?
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Oh, my God, I'm really nervous about this for Sunday, but Miles Sanders has an ankle problem or a foot problem, whatever. There's no broken bone in there, which is the good news, but the bad news is...
6.5, by the way.
Yeah, 6.5 over under Flyers Edmonton. But the bad news is he might not play. So if you don't have Miles Sanders back there...
What? They didn't use him anyway.
I know, but that just says to me that Nick Sirianni is going to say, I got to throw the ball this week. We don't have our number one running back. Oh, my God.
You know it's happening.
You do.
I don't think you need to know.
You know it's happening.
Look, they ran the ball the first series last week. Yeah. 6 out of 8 plays, they ran the ball, and they got a touchdown. They went up 7-0.
And they let their quarterback be under center.
And he ran it really well, and it looked good, and they looked like an NFL team. Now that running back isn't going to be there, so you have Kenneth Gainwell, and it looks like probably Boston Scott.
My gosh.
I see 40 passes at least.
Oh, no.
For Jalen Hurts this week. And I can't help but believe when he gets the injury report handed to him throughout the week and he says, all right, looks like Miles isn't a go, that his eyes just don't light up and he says, RPO and we're going to throw. Look.
Does he rhyme? Does he speak in iambic pentameter?
He might, but it's... What bothers me is I wouldn't disagree with it if this was a normal team, because when you lose your number one running back, okay, you have to look to somehow supplement that, and maybe you have to do it by throwing the football a little bit more. But, oh, my God, does this guy really need a reason to do it? Because there's one built in this week. I'm telling you, it is going to be a throw week for Jalen Hurts, and I kind of agree with whoever was saying they think that the Eagles are going to lose. I think Detroit is going to be all over this offense trying to throw the football, and it's going to be a horrible day for Jalen Hurts.
But yeah, Jamie.
I don't think he needs an excuse. after this past week and the Kansas City game, and he's becoming what he is, and that's a guy that's not going to rely on the run game, which is crazy. But I don't think he needed an excuse to throw the ball 45 times again on Sunday.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't need an excuse.
I think that's just convenient for him.
You leave the door open a crack, and he's going to burst it through it like the Kool-Aid man. And unfortunately, the Miles Sanders injury does leave the door open for a 40, 50-yard passing situation, especially if this team falls behind.
Oh, no, they're going to fall behind.
And you saw what happened when Miles Sanders exited the game. They ended up running the ball with Boston Scott, who hadn't touched the ball a year. Like, this is a brilliant game plan.
But if he comes out and goes run heavy, it might tell you how they feel about Miles Sanders, right?
That's a pretty good point.
That's a really good point.
They might tell you that he's not in the future here, and they might try to trade him.
They should trade him.
You can't trade him. He's hurt.
Well, you see, it's hopefully just IR. Week to week. What, you got two more weeks of the trade?
Stephon Gilmore was traded and he was on the pup list.
Yeah, that's the truth. But you got a guy who hasn't really been used either.
But if you see 20 carries from Gainwell and Scott, that might tell you a lot.
Hey, fuel up in the Wawa app and get 15 cents off per gallon. Just use the Wawa app to pay for your fuel and save through the month of October. Gotta have a Wawa. We're almost there, folks. We are almost there. Monday will be November. And you know what that means?
Got cold last night.
No more pumpkin spice ads. Don't hear about pumpkin spice donuts and pumpkin spice coffee, pumpkin spice.
The pumpkin cold brew is pretty quality.
So tired of the pumpkin spice.
I don't even like pumpkin. It's not even pumpkin.
It's pumpkin. This is not pumpkin. When they even use it, it's not pumpkin. Yeah. There's nothing pumpkin in it.
I had to buy my wife some pumpkin beers, and that pains me to spend money on.
Why?
I think they're disgusting.
But if she likes it.
Well, she likes it. Yeah, that's why I do it. But it's just like, why are we doing this?
Was she drinking it in front of a sign that said,
because she likes
fall,
it.
Yeah, I know.
Like, seriously, happy fall, y'all. Yeah, exactly.
Is yours the only taste that
matters?
That matters?
Yeah.
There it is.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
No.
It's
not
a bit of a foodie douche.
She can go buy her own pumpkin beer.
Huh? How about that?
I agree with Jamie.
If she's drinking pumpkin beer, she really should grow one of those hipster beards.
That would be quite weird for me.
I'm telling you. All right, let's get to Pat's takes.
With or without, either way, it's time for Pat's takes.
Hello.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, Pat.
Last week, I told you about the petty feud between the Chicago Sky and the Phoenix Mercury. I found another one.
Oh, I love petty.
And it's awesome. It's right up, John. It's right up your alley here. So, gentlemen, if I were to ask you who the Montreal Canadiens' rival was, who would you guess?
The Toronto Maple Leafs.
Bob?
I'll go Maple Leafs also.
Jamie?
Let's make it a trifecta there, Pat.
It's the Leafs.
You're all three. You're wrong. In the last 2 years, it's become the Carolina Hurricanes. Mm. So this all started in 2019 when the Canadiens sent a large offer sheet to Hurricane star Sebastian Aho, forced Carolina to match, but they never forgot. They sat there waiting in the weeds for their moment to exact revenge. And they found it this offseason when the Canadiens were in a contract dispute with their former third overall pick, 21-year-old winger Jasperi Kotkaniemi. And guess who had a little bit of cap space? Carolina Hurricanes. They sent Kotkaniemi a 1 year, $6 million offer sheet, which is a ton for a 21-year-old. It included a $20 signing bonus. The $20 signified Sebastian Aho's number. Hurricanes knew the Canadiens couldn't match, and they didn't. So the Canadiens then tried to get the Hurricanes back by alerting the league that the Hurricanes had only played 4 preseason games, even though every team is supposed to play 6. Ultimately, the league didn't really care, though, but it was a petty move nonetheless. Well, in the latest chapter of Montreal versus Carolina, it happened last week when the two teams met for the first time. Hurricanes won 4-1. Kotkaniemi scored his first goal of the season because, you know, of course.
Right.
But the Hurricanes took to Twitter to troll their rivals hard, so they tweeted a link to a website, www.didthehabslose.com. When you went to the website, you could purchase Kotkaniemi and Aho jerseys. The pettiness of the Carolina Hurricanes is something I truly admire.
It is good. Don Waddell, running the Carolina Hurricanes. He is... He's a guy with a long memory. Long memory.
That's awesome.
And he is. He was the last cut from the Miracle on Ice team.
Oh, he was that guy.
Wait. He was the last guy. He was the guy who got cut in the...
In the movie, it was Ralph Cox.
No, it's Don Waddell, who runs the Carolina Hurricanes. He was the last player that was cut. Don Waddell was that guy.
Disney would ever lie to us. But.
And Don was the guy.
Okay.
It's not the first time Mickey Mouse has lied to you, Pat.
Believe me.
Feel betrayed. That's fine. Our own Bob Cooney once said, what's better than a threesome? A foursome.
Oh.
Now, Bob was talking about a golf outing.
Of course he was.
DK Metcalf didn't get the context because he recently tried to solicit an OnlyFans model for a nice night of Haagen-Dazs and sex.
Mm.
He DM'd her his address and she got all ready, headed to Seattle, but when she was really close to his house, she got a message that said, hey, I'm tired and the Haagen-Dazs is gone, so go home. So she went home, but she proceeded to put DK on blast. DK then woke up the next morning, got some briars, and DM'd the model again, telling her to come back because he was trying to have a foursome. She didn't, and DK Metcalf had to settle for a bland threesome and some butter pecan.
A foursome?
Yeah. Wow. Shoot. Metcalf was quoted as saying, I should have bought Ben and Jerry's. females go crazy for Cherry Garcia. But the OnlyFans model was not having it. She's posted the DMs, the pictures, and everything. So, yeah, he woke up, basically sent her home, and then decided, no, actually come back because I'm trying to have a foursome.
So the poor guy gets put on blast for being cool enough to have threesomes and potentially foursomes? Oh, the travesty.
There's too many.
The poor guy.
There's too many weapons in the room if you're having a foursome.
Well, depends.
He's not having. A foursome wouldn't mean. I never even heard foursome. No, foursome means two guys, two girls.
No.
Yes, it does.
I don't think in DK's world.
A foursome
means
does not mean man and three women.
Not at all.
I think
I just look. Do you believe the Google machine?
No.
A foursome is two guys, two girls.
No. I don't think DK is.
Let's make it clear. This was not DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. This was DK Metcalf and three women he found on Instagram.
Yeah, poor guy. Poor.
Power move. You think Jalen Rager's having this?
No.
You think Jalen's doing
that? No. Jalen Rager's out there shooting with Connor Thomas. But power move to say, actually, you know what? I'm tired. Go home. And then to have the audacity to text
him
back.
Come on back.
Yeah. All right. And finally, the Dolphins lost this week in a last-second field goal to the Falcons. They are now 1-6. Good news for them is they're slated to have the second overall pick. Oh, wait, yeah, that's right, they traded
it. Yes, they traded it.
Well, I think it's safe to say they wouldn't have lost the game if they have activated Foggy to God.
Yeah.
Although he somehow remains on the Dolphins practice squad. The
really?
Dolphins, clearly they want to do the Eagles a solid, and they want to lose games on purpose to up that draft pick for the Birds. The Dolphins know they have a 1,000-yard wide receiver on the team. They just haven't activated him yet.
Wow.
This season, Foggy to God has a total of 0 catches for 0 yards in his quest to prove me correct that he is truly a 1,000-yard wide receiver.
He needs 100 yards a week.
And that
now
is all it takes. For Pat's takes.
He needs 100 yards
still doable
a week.
Yeah,
so
he can do it. No problem for him.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Someone had to have the worst take in the first year of the show.
Why that not is me?
That's an all-timer.
That is t-shirt worthy.
Yeah, it's not great.
And Pat's all-time worst take is brought to you by PropSwap.
Wow.
It's your last chance to get in on the baseball action with PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets.
Pat looking to sell his Fulgham over 495 yards pass reception for the year.
I just need one guy to bite. That's it. It's on PropSwap, and I even have it on Groupon as well. You can get a great offer right now.
Fulgham. That's amazing.
That was great.
It's
just making sure you guys are listening. That's all.
That's really incredible. And you lure him with ice cream.
He tried.
That's always good.
He tries.
There's
some out there.
You're not, as Connor proved this weekend, every time you shoot, you're not going to make everyone.
Yeah.
You're going to miss.
Good point. Very good point.
And
by
we wonder why people are obsessed with their phones. Remember when you had to actually work for female accompaniment or male accompaniment or whatever you're into?
It goes down in the DMs these days.
Now you don't even work for it.
That's what the kids say.
You just put it out there on the marketplace.
Oh, I don't know. Connor works a little bit. He says anybody he talks to for 15 minutes, he can get their number.
Really? The flight attendant couldn't have stayed further away from him. What happened in that one?
She was trying. She was not feeling him at all.
She was not.
She smelled that desperation.
She smelled it from a mile away, and she had to clung closer to Pat and I.
She was cute, too.
I'm sure it's the first time she's gotten hit on a flight, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that was part of it.
Connor started shooting at these two girls that were just walking to the game, like out of nowhere.
Yeah, no, it was a mom and a daughter.
Yeah,
they didn't know when they were.
Oh, my God.
They flew into his radar.
And guess what? The mom paid attention to him. The daughter, who was a little younger than Connor, couldn't have stayed further away. She's avoiding.
But apparently she gave Connor her number.
The young girl?
That's what he told
she
me.
She did not.
That's what he told me.
That is a load of crap.
Back. No, that's what he told
BS
me.
BS. Yeah,
it was four.
BS.
It said car.
Ridiculous. The girl was standing over near us.
I'm just telling
as soon
you
as he's approaching, the mom was interested.
I think it's more impressive to pull the mom in that situation.
Oh, absolutely.
No.
No, it is.
No, well, it wasn't.
Yeah, it's a power move to look over the daughter and say, actually,
I'm not talking to you.
I want the season
yeah, talking to your yeah, mom.
Wow. I don't want Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, chickens make good
bet
soup.
All right. How are those Simmons-less Sixers looking today? We'll get to it next. John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. If you've lived in your home for 10 years or 15 years, and I can ask you, have you ever replaced your water heater? You haven't? Well, you're going to get acquainted at some point when that thing busts and floods and you need it in an emergency type situation, you're going to want a new Bradford White water heater for your house. Bradford White water heaters are built to be the best. Listen to Ron Jaworski. He's told you that for years. You're not going to find Bradford White water heaters at those big box retail stores, and there's a reason. Because they team up with local plumbing and heating professionals to make sure that you're getting the best quality installation. So that means you're going to get top performance and you're going to get reliability. Your water heater is something that is so mission critical to your home. You want to make sure you get a Bradford White. So visit Bradford White today. You can purchase the water heater. They put you in touch with the people who can install it for you. Remember, when you need a new water heater, a Bradford White water heater is the one to choose. Learn more. Find a local pro at bradfordwhite.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
8 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Adam Schefter joins us in just a few moments. And what scares me is that we're already talking about the draft. In fact, I'm going to let Waleed get in. Never do this at the top of the hour, but Waleed from Australia joins us from the land down under. Waleed, what time is it right now in Australia?
Good morning to you guys. It's evening here, 10:31 as we speak.
Oh my gosh.
How are we all?
It's good, man. 10:30, that's unbelievable. Tell us a little bit about what your question is about the Eagles draft.
Yeah, I'm a big Philadelphia fan, all four sports. But with the draft, we've got the three picks. We'll potentially have the number 5, 10, and 17 potential. Do you think we'll be targeting the Pittsburgh QB that's considered to be the...
Pick it.
Number one QB?
No. I 100% think you will not. That they will not. First of all, I don't think there's a lot of top of the draft quarterback potential this year. I really don't, even though that always tends to happen. I don't think that they would be looking to use one of those top picks, Waleed. You're awesome, man. Hope you have a great day. I mean, a great night. Or a great day tomorrow.
I was talking with Anthony about him the other day. He's got an arm. He's good, but he's not a guy that's top 10 worthy. He's probably a mid to late first at best, if not an early second by most mocks right now. Corral and Malik Willis are pretty much the top two guys so far.
Corral's the only one that I would.
That's what I'm telling you.
And I'm not even considering.
If Russell, I'm going to ask Adam again. I'm going to put him to the grills here.
We're going to get into it with trade deadline talk with him tonight.
You guys know who Pickett committed to?
Temple.
Oh.
Originally committed to Temple under Matt Rhule. And then he backed out when Pitt offered and went to Pitt.
We were watching a little bit of him this weekend highlights, and Egan must have said it 50 times.
Well, it was. He turned his back on it. So.
It just means that, you know, Temple was a hipster, if you will.
Yeah, you know, it used to be. It's sort of like where, at Pat, it makes the point about Temple, though. I have people say to me when I'm disgusted with the basketball program not being relevant and the football program not being relevant.
Yeah.
And people say to me all the time, well, it's really hard to win at Temple. You can't win at Temple. And I'm like, really? I watched 2 decades of winning at Temple.
Yeah, you can.
I expected to be in the NCAA tournament, what, 18 out of 20 years?
I mean, college basketball is tough because it's such a dirty business,
and you can do it without, I mean? But you can do it without being dirty.
Yeah, you can.
You did. I watched it.
You can.
I watched it.
It's a different day and age.
And I watched the college football. I watched a guy come in and win.
Yeah. Well, yep. he could identify talent.
It's a difference.
Tough. If you're an Eagles fan and a Temple football fan, it's a tough year.
Oh,
for
football. It's brutal.
It's not fun.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Do you want to hear the names Walter Football has as the Eagles' top two picks right now?
Yeah.
Number two, no, not Kyle Hamilton. Adam Anderson, defensive edge, outside linebacker from University of Georgia.
Okay, Adam Anderson would be fine, and I would offer to pick him up and drive him.
And number six, Derek Stingley, cornerback, LSU.
I'd love it.
We're dancing naked in the streets for him.
That would be awesome. That would be transformational.
Naked.
That would be transformational.
Yeah, that would be. I would love if you were afforded the ability to go three defensive players with three first-round picks, if you get them, I'd be all for it. Now, that would mean that would mean addressing the quarterback position in another way, which is what Jamie's looking to do.
Well, you're not going to get all three if you're doing that.
Okay,
Russell Wilson.
How are the Simmons-less 76ers looking? And how long should it take to evaluate where they're at? After being the top seed in the East last year, would a stumbling start make you feel more obliged to welcoming him back? If you're dug in on being anti-Simmons, is there any way you're feeling shift if it looks like this team, at least in the short term, can't win without him? Robert? If this team's really struggling and then Ben Simmons says he's ready to come back, I think a lot of people who are very anti-Simmons today will be like, yeah, okay, I'll welcome him back because this team's a hell of a lot better with him. No matter what you want to say about Ben, they're a hell of a lot better with him.
Sure they are. And you know, it got you to a first seed last year. Here's the thing. Yes, you have the insight in your mind saying, well, if he comes back, what difference does it make? Because look what happened in the playoffs, ..
Yeah, I love that talk.
Well, the only way he's going to get better is to play. The only way he's going to change is to play. Whether that change happens or not, we don't know. We certainly know it's not going to happen with him not being here, with him sitting on the sidelines, not showing up at all. So, look, we talked about this before. As much as everyone hated what Ben Simmons' camp was saying and he was allowing to be released about the team, Joel Embiid, whatever, we all said that it's no good. As much as we want him to sit aside and be punished, it doesn't do the team any good. No, you're not getting anything back for it, and he's not on the floor for you.
I mean,
this is where you are.
They don't look good.
No, Devon and I were watching warm-ups Friday night, and we were talking. We're like, the best thing for the Sixers would come out and be like 11-4 out of the gate. They'd recapture any hand they had over Ben Simmons. If they come out and go 7-7, 7-8, 8-7, I do think a lot of people are going to go, Ben, hurry back. And it's probably favorable for him and his camp. You know, they're still going to be the faction of the fan base that is just done with him no matter what. And I can't blame those people. But yeah, if they struggle here out of the gate, it's going to make his return a lot easier.
Does it change anything for you, Pat? As far as wanting him, whether you want him back or we both thought he would be back. I still believe he's going to be back.
Yeah, I think he'll be back and quickly gone.
I want him back because I think they're a better team with him. But
yeah, nobody denies that.
I'm not overly surprised at how the season has gone so far without him. I mean, you're asking a second-year point guard who's shown flashes, but you're asking him to step in for a three-time All-Star. It's a tough ask, and this team is struggling. So I'm not overly surprised at the product that we're getting, but yeah, I want him back because they're a better team.
But if Doc doesn't gift-wrap that game to Brooklyn on Friday night,
you're right.
The last night is like, oh, okay.
Yeah, call her.
Yeah,
call her.
Now it's 2-2, and you go, oh, damn it.
Fuel up in the Wawa app and get 15 cents off a gallon. Just use the Wawa app to pay for your fuel and save through the month of October. Got to have a Wawa. By the way, watching NFL Network and they're with Mooch and the show that they do on sort of recapping the weekend and everything. And there was talk about the trade deadline coming up, which comes up next Tuesday. So we're 6 days from the trade deadline. So you get one more game, and then there's trade deadline. And I guess it was Steve Mariucci saying that they were talking about teams that have veterans that might be looking to have fire sales. Could the Eagles be one of them? And the commentator in the panel says, around the league, if there's veteran players who are sort of not giving it their all or not being good teammates, a lot of teams would not really be looking to acquire them. I wonder if guys, like, you know, if you're not giving it your all, you're bitching and complaining about the coaching staff, you're throwing up your hands and saying, it's not me, I wonder what kind of market value they have.
Who could you be talking about?
I don't know. Mm. Well, nobody's taking Fletcher Cox. Nobody's taking that contract. No. So
one guy recently that I've been thinking about that they should move is Kelsey.
I
mean, they did right by Zach Ertz, and they put him in a situation.
I don't think Kelsey wants to leave.
I don't know if he does either, but
I have such a strong feeling that this is his last year.
Oh, yeah.
He sort of sounds like he wants to leave by his on the field?
I don't know. Uprooting his family.
He wouldn't.
He doesn't have to.
Yeah, he would keep them here.
Well, yeah, but like,
we're talking about 3 months.
He's got two young kids under the age of three. That's really hard to go live on the. As you know, you're living away.
They're young kids. He can take his kids with him.
That's tough.
No, you just rent a place for 3 months, 4 months.
Yeah. It's easy for us to say.
You just go and it's like a vacation. Right. You take your kids.
John's literally doing it, so it's tough for us to argue against.
I've done it. I mean, I'm doing with a 17-year-old, but it's. Gosh, these guys can take, when little kids are portable, you can just pick them up, get them on a plane, rent a furnished place and be doing it.
Yeah,
we're talking about 3 months.
In the ass. He's like definition of Mr. Eagle.
He is, but if you can get a fifth round pick for him.
I don't think he's ring chasing.
Well.
I mean, does he want to lose?
I can't tell you.
I think he wants to be an Eagle.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just reading from the outside. I have no idea. But
he definitely looked like he was happy.
I would say stop.
He got hit late and his helmet got removed from him in the field
of
play.
I would say stop then showing up coaches and strategy on the field then too. Stop throwing your hands up in the air. Stop voicing your displeasure on the field.
He's earned the right to do that.
It's terrible. It's a bad example to young players too. I'm frustrated, so I'm gonna shame the coaches publicly. It doesn't look good to me.
Neither does the coaching.
It doesn't.
I like a player that cares that much. You know, I don't like showing up anybody, but
right.
I like a player that cares that much to be like, what the hell are we doing?
We go to the Comcast Business Hotline, where every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. Adam Schefter joining us courtesy of
our great friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. Download America's top-rated sportsbook app.
He is busy going on out there and searching New York food sites that deliver. He's Adam Schefter. And Adam, we're getting ready for the trade deadline, and we were just speculating. Do you believe that they now, because Howie said a few weeks ago he didn't think that they were sellers. Does he believe it now?
Well, I think what they would do is, I think they could go either way on this. And I don't mean from a winning standpoint, like this team's going to rally and make the type of playoff run that Philly wants. What I mean is that I think that they would trade for a player with the long-term view in mind. So I don't think they're just sellers, if that makes sense, right? Like, I don't think that as the trade deadline comes, and by the way, there's usually, just so we know and are clear, there's usually a lot more talk and conversation and speculation than there are actual moves. But beyond that, as it pertains to Philadelphia itself, I can see Philly trading away players, and I could see Philly acquiring players. They would not go out and get a player on a short-term expiring contract the way that a contender could right now. But if there were a young player, you know, 3 years left on his deal, 2-3 years left on his deal, for whatever reason, and there was a deal to be had, I think that they could trade for a player too. I'm not telling you they will, but over the next week, they'll look into that. They will.
Good.
Shetty, are you getting the feeling, talking to people around the league, that there's maybe disappointment by Eagles ownership or whatever with this coaching staff? Because the fan base sure isn't enamored with them as of yet.
Yeah. Well, the tone is quite different than the way John spoke about the staff in the spring. I will say that, right?
Oh, yes, it's much different. I wanted to try to be positive. And after the initial press conference, Adam, I think I've realized the initial press conference guy is exactly who Nick Sirianni is. He's unprepared. He's over his skis. And he cannot articulate his point of view or a vision for how to fix things.
And what I would say to that is this, okay? It's a reflection to me. It's a reflection. And I've had this conversation with coaches. A reflection of where we're at in society, the lack of patience that people have with quarterbacks, with coaches, with front offices. We want to go draft a new quarterback and want him to be Tom Brady right away. We want to hire a new coach and have him win a Super Bowl out of the gate.
Adam, now you're spinning something. That's total crap. That's not true at all. This fan base does not expect this Eagles team to win a Super Bowl. This fan base expects that they hired a guy who was competent, who could sit behind a microphone and talk about his vision, have a team look prepared on Sunday afternoons, have a team that looks like they understand what they're doing. None of that's happening. Fans here didn't expect Super Bowls. They're being impatient with Nick Sirianni.
I'm being extreme.
Okay.
Your points are fair. I'm just saying the point of impatience is a real one where people want results right. What you're saying is also right. And I think you're right. Okay. They want preparedness. They want execution. They want to feel like we're building something. And for whatever reason, obviously, Philly doesn't feel like that right now. My point is just that these things sometimes take time. Now, if you're seeing traits in Nick Sirianni that you don't like, I got that. That's fair. Okay. But my point is, with like all these rookie quarterbacks, young coaches, it takes time to learn the job. It just does. And we live in a world in which people want instant results. Forget about super, instant results. How about that? Okay.
Well, I don't think this fan base was looking for that. Most of our listeners, Adam, were saying 6 or 7 wins, right around the number that we bet on this year.
Seven.
That's what they were
seven.
Saying. But
seven.
They, but
seven.
I was saying six. But they were looking for, a core competency, and
yeah,
it hasn't
okay.
seen it.
Adam, yesterday in town, there was a little nugget from our own Jeff McLean at the Inquirer that Brandon Staley basically had the Eagles lined up and said, nah. You know, Justin Herbert was the main reason, but secondary to that was kind of the power structure of the Eagles organization. Now looking back, hindsight being 2020, Brian Daboll also kind of passed on the opportunity. Kellen Moore, kind of same thing. Is there a reputation around the league that this isn't an ideal situation for a coach? And I know there's only 32 jobs of these in the world, so there's always, you know, a great spot. But it seems like people and coaches in particular have a problem with the power structure here.
See, I think Brandon Staley was not the power, had nothing to do with the power in Philadelphia, in my mind. I think he was living in L.A., to be in L.A., before he even came to Philly to interview, had the job in L.A. and just took it and didn't want to move his family and wanted to work with Herbert and all those things like that. I don't think that one is a reflection on Philly. I don't believe that to be the case. So certain people with different ideas. But I go back to what you said there, that there are a limited number of these jobs. And I would venture to tell you that most of people who interviewed for them, and I don't think Brandon Staley ever actually interviewed for the job, even though he was lined up to come to Philadelphia a day or two after he took the Chargers job. The people who interview for they want these jobs, period. They're not concerned about any ideas, riffs, dysfunction, whatever it may be. They want the job, period. And so I know, you know, people are all over looking for ideas about why people wouldn't come or what's wrong. And I think, I don't know if that's at the top of the list as to why people didn't take jobs, to me.
I'm looking at this this Eagles club, and when you look at their draft capital, there's a lot of wondering about potentially if they do, because Carson looks healthy and Carson's playing a lot better. So it looks like he'll be able to secure that in 5.5 more games. He'll have enough snaps to secure it. With 3 number one picks, do they go veteran quarterback shopping, or do they try to get a free agent? Do they try a trade? Do they maybe try to bring somebody in here instead of trying to draft one? Because it's not a strong class. It doesn't look like a strong class. Let's put it that way.
They're going to have right now, it looks like, 3 ones in the top 20, 2 in the top 10. That's how it looks right now.
Yes.
And so they are going to be armed to do what they want to do. And again, I'll just say that we're looking at an offseason potentially in which Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, all could be available. So, to me, before you do anything, those are the first 3 names that you have to get answers on. Have to. And you get those answers in January, February, March, after the season ends. And then you base everything off there. Like last offseason, the Rams went Stafford. Other teams didn't get him, and they moved on to the next guy. And I think before you move on to any free agent quarterback or any other veteran or drafting a guy in April or May, whatever, April 28th, you're getting answers. Okay, what's the deal with Deshaun? Who may be traded, by the way, by the deadline next week anyway. You're getting answers on Aaron Rodgers, whose situation will come up again this offseason. And we don't know how that's going to unfold, but it's certainly a question that is going to be asked and answered right after the season. And the same is true for Russell Wilson.
Adam, on Russell Wilson, do you think there's a little bit of white whale there? Because Howie Roseman was here under Andy Reid when they apparently were in love with Wilson in the draft and just missed out on him. Do you think that's something he wants to bring back? Is he the most likely of those veterans, do you think?
I'll just say this. Any team with a quarterback need Russell Wilson.
Yes.
I mean, if they loved him at the draft, then they certainly love him now. And if you can get a guy, fine. And I'll come back to the statement I said when we were talking, I believe this summer, at the end of the summer, in August, early September, about Deshaun Watson. And I said to you at that time, nobody is better armed to go make a move at quarterback than the Philadelphia Eagles. And it's still true today.
Pass this word along, though, Shefty. We've had nobody call this show, write to this show, talk to this show, that is like, bring in a Deshaun Watson. This city doesn't need Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, and
we don't need a face of the franchise that has that resume off the field. Don't need it.
Philadelphia is not trading for Deshaun Watson by the trade deadline, right? Now, you know, let's see if he's moved to Miami. Let's see if the situation's reset. Let's see how the legal situation plays out with the 22 civil lawsuits and the 10 criminal cases regarding sexual behavior and inappropriate conduct. Ticketed for Philly, sir. So you don't worry about that right now.
Well, that's good news. Good job, Adam. Good stuff, and we appreciate it. We'll chat with you after the trade deadline next week. Hopefully, we'll be talking about some big stuff.
I look forward to that because it'll be a little bit calmer.
There you go, buddy. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it, buddy. Adam Shepton joined us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next.
And thanks to DraftKings Sportsbook for bringing us Adam every week.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not going to let that narrative be spun. Yeah, you know, it's people want immediate results. Nobody in the Eagles fan base was saying this team was going to be a playoff team or demanding they make the Super Bowl.
I have to disagree with Adam a little bit because Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert and some of these other young kids that come out change the game right away.
Immediately. They change it immediately.
There are difference makers right away. This isn't 1985 anymore.
And more importantly, nobody in this fan base, I'm not going to let Nick Sirianni get a pass or let that be the talking point. Well, 7 games in, people wanted them to win a Super Bowl. Bull crap.
Kyler Murray's on his rookie deal and probably the MVP of the league right now.
Nobody in this town was saying, Nick Sirianni better make the playoffs.
No. Nobody.
Everybody was realistic.
Yeah.
But they didn't expect this dumpster fire that they got.
Yeah, no, I agree with you that nobody expected it here. I also agree with Shefty a little bit in that, and I've talked about this before, people want to elevate too quickly, right?
Yeah, so that part
of it I understand. Sure. But no, he not in this town. This town was not expecting playoffs, was not expecting anything great. I think everybody to a man almost was at a look-see, you know, kind of a way to look at the single season, yeah.
Jump in with us if you wish at 610-632-0975. It's two really bad defenses this weekend. We'll get to it next. John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. If you have a college-bound senior like I do, you want to make sure that you both attend one of the free College Ave Student Loans virtual college planning events. It's going to help you navigate the college planning and financial aid process with confidence. Plus, when you register, you can enter to win a $2,500 scholarship for school. It's another great example about College Ave. College Ave, all they do is student loans. CollegeAve.com wants to relieve your stress. Thanksgiving break's right around the corner, and that'd be a great time when the families get a little more relaxed time to go to CollegeAve.com/college-ready and register for the free college planning webinars and enter to win $2,500 for school. The contest ends November 17th. So go there now, collegeave.com/college-ready. Their site's simple, it's easy to use, and if you attend these free college planning webinars, you're going to breathe much easier about what's coming in this college process. There's no purchase necessary. See official rules for complete details. All they do is college loans. Visit collegeave.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I know where everybody is. Coffee time. College Ave student loans. Sit down with your high school senior. Visit collegeave.com. Collegeave.com. The emotional support system will help you guys through the college journey from start to finish. Your party out in the hallway, I'm missing. Was there like
I was just talking
food?
With Chuck, yeah.
What was Chuck saying?
Our boss is saying I was
good news?
He was asking about Halloween. Bob's health status.
Health status? Because Bob was a little gassier today?
I wasn't. Yeah, it was raisin bread.
You guys want to make up stuff and think
it wasn't making up anything.
Okay.
That wasn't tape.
I think we learned a lesson, Johnny, and that's next time you bring in burritos for everybody, which was a great move by you.
Yes.
Power move.
Quality
that's
move.
That's leadership right there.
By the way, the egg white sausage, that was
good.
Delightful.
Yeah. Egg white sausage and cheese. By the way.
But next time,
that's the Wawa on Belmont. And the young lady sang the entire time she was putting them together.
Joyous burrito maker.
And she, man, puts together a burrito.
That was good.
That was awesome.
For what that place lacks in parking spaces, they make up for with the workers they have. They have
customer service.
Yeah.
The lady at the front counter, she's a sweetheart.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Absolutely awesome. They're very kind people.
Yes, there is.
Very kind people.
Wawa's one of those places.
Wawa is one of those places. The Wawa out near my new house. That's really close. Everybody in there is like really, really like they're very, very happy to talk to you, say hello, help you out. It's great, and it's great for the brand to be able to have that. Hey, you enjoyed meeting Pam on our trip to Vegas. You enjoyed meeting Pam.
Sure, absolutely. We all did.
Well, K Dog,
nasty girl, right?
And you met naughty girls.
Naughty girl.
Naughty girls. I don't know about nasty, but you never know.
I mean, they're cousins, nasty and naughty.
Yeah, nasty and naughty. Well, remember, and Kathleen.
Love Kathleen.
Yes. Who was on there.
Love
K-Dog,
them both.
K-Dog was on the trip. Kathleen McGeehan celebrating a birthday today.
Oh, is she?
Oh, happy birthday, Kathleen.
Happy birthday. Realtor. So she's K-Dog, not to be confused with T-Dog. Not to be confused. They are different.
They are different people.
Kathleen, love you. Happy birthday today, and we had fun. That was such a great trip still. How much did you sleep yesterday extra?
I didn't.
No,
I think I'll get it today. I didn't.
My mom's concerned about you.
Your mom is concerned about me. Why?
That you only sleep 4 hours a night.
It's not good, yeah.
Wait, you only sleep 4 hours a night, Bob?
Wait a minute. What? Yeah, pretty much, 4 to 6, yeah. Why is everybody concerned about my health all of a sudden? I'm the healthiest out of all of us, and you're concerned about my health.
I don't believe that. Sleeping's way important.
Would you rather have us
sleep
not concerned?
Sleep is overrated.
Do you want us not to love you, Bob? Is that what you'd like us?
Medically, it's been proven to actually be very properly rated.
Bob, yes. I don't want you to die.
So wait.
I love you, man.
I love you so much. Okay, if I die a little early because of lack of sleep, that just means I've lived longer than you guys.
No, that's not the way it works.
But yeah, because if I'm up for 4 hours living while you guys are sleeping,
because you're
living
while you're sleeping.
How are your math grades at Canon Catholic?
I'm living, man.
I gotta tell you, I slept yesterday afternoon. I finally, after I got home, did a few meetings. I was asleep by 1 o'clock, and I slept till 5, and then I got up and I felt really good, and I never take a nap that long. But I needed it. Got up, did laundry, finally unpacked. I never do that, where I waited. It was almost 24 hours until I unpacked the bag. And then I got a good night's sleep last night. I said, I feel perfect today. I finally got back.
We'll stay in the suitcase until the draft.
No, I did wash all day yesterday.
Did three
loads of my wash only. I had the washer and dryer to myself. It was perfect.
Do you take out the little drawer thing? Do you have one of those front loaders?
Yeah.
Okay. So I have to take out because I've been told by she who must be obeyed, that you take out the little drawer where you could put in I just throw the pods right into the tank. But they have this thing, and there's water in there, and you sort of take it out, you drain it, then you let it, then there's like a drawer up at the top.
I'm a top load old school,
it keeps it getting moldy. It gets moldy, these front loaders. So I'm just trying to not screw anything up in this house. Bears with Bob tonight. You're not going to screw that up, Bob.
No, I'll be awake for that, too. Sure.
You
Bears
and
Bob, 6
that.
To 7. Me and Andrew will be in studio tonight. We're going to have a lot of fun with it. We've already been bantering some things back and forth.
Okay, here's what Brett has to say. Brett joins us on the Fanatic. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning.
What are you up to this morning?
I'm actually on my way kind of to work, but not really.
What do you mean kind of to work? I don't understand. What is
because
this new
I'm
thing?
Because I'm in that direction.
Oh,
I have
okay.
other things that I got to do before work, so it's, you know.
You're not on the clock right now. Your boss isn't listening, right? Or are
no,
you
I'm
the boss?
Boss. I
love
business.
That. That's great. That is great. So what's going on?
Yes. So I've actually been on hold, and I apologize if it doesn't come across the way I want to, because I have so many things going through my head right now.
Okay.
Just from hearing the thing with Adam Schefter, and like, I love Adam. We all love Adam. It's awesome. He's a great guy. He always brings a lot to the table. But like, I'm 42 years old, and I am a diehard Eagles fan, and I always want to have hope for the Eagles.
Right.
That's our biggest thing. That's what Philly is all about. We're all about hope.
But,
you know, you always have that hope there that they do well. But the reality is, you know, you're right. We never really had that thing where we were like, oh, Super Bowl, whatever. I was on the boat where I didn't really like the move, but you have hope that this coaching staff is going to do well. I didn't really like it. I didn't see anything from it when he was a coach for the Colts. So it was like, I didn't really have a big hope for it. But you always have a hope as an Eagles fan. Maybe we catch another,
right.
You know, peanut in a bottle kind of thing. But,
yeah, right now the hope, and we got it, Brett. It's being killed. The Brett's being the hope is being choked right out of us.
It is. Look, you're right, John. This town didn't expect much.
Correct. And that's where
we're not even getting that.
I got told I was rude to Adam. I was rude to Adam, that I jumped at him. I said, "Honey, you don't understand sports talk radio." I said I wasn't going to let that false narrative be put out there.
Well, 30 seconds later, he was laughing.
It was exactly. I mean, I wasn't trying to be.
Adam's fine.
I think he's fine. I think he's a big boy. Think Adam can handle it.
I didn't love his answer about the Eagles.
Not at all.
Organization.
No, I didn't like it at all.
Because I thought that was a denial of some pretty obvious breadcrumbs that are out there.
I absolutely believe it to be a denial. Or it's just a difference of opinion.
It could be.
You know, could be.
I don't know. When you have three hot names
exactly.
in the league,
and they don't
say,
want any interest. No, yeah. Hey, KGL Skin Study Center is recruiting for an atopic eczema study for adults in Newtown Square. That's where I went to grade school. Get paid up to $375 to volunteer. Go to KGLSkinStudyCenter.com. KGLSkinStudyCenter.com. I didn't know if that's a problem in Newtown Square, but get that checked out if you were out and about. Hey, there are two really bad opposing defenses facing off on Sunday. Tell me what the mystery is here. The over-under is 48. I checked my Park Sportsbook app. Over-under is 48 for Eagles-Lions. Lions are 25th in points allowed. The Eagles are 24th. Both teams giving up north of 360 yards per game. Why is the over-under 48?
Because both offenses suck.
That could be, too.
Yeah.
If I said to you, would you rather try to win a game with Jared Goff or Jalen Hurts?
Jared Goff.
All day long. 100 times out of 100.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, if you look at a little bit of this Lions offense, you know, look at some stats. Look at what they've done in games. It's not that good, but it's probably better than the Eagles. I just think it's a case where, both offenses. You can't put a high over under against against two what appears to be bad defenses simply because these offenses aren't any good either.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Bob was. Detroit's averaging 18.3 a game. The Eagles are only at 22. I mean, these are two bottom half of the league offenses.
But look at some they have both played. Detroit's played some good defenses.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
there is something to say about that.
Through seven games, are the fifth worst offense in the league. So I don't think 48's that low. 48 to me is kind of average ish. So that doesn't shock me.
I don't know.
It's two mediocre
quarterbacks. I'm sort of all over the over. I'm sort of like I just tend thinking to be with that you. This game's going to be
sloppy.
I could see this game being 17-14, 20-14 at half. Like type of thing. That this could be one of those kind of.
Yeah, I tend to be with you. I would probably bet
7-3.
Oh, don't tell me that.
Because, well, how many times have you seen when you know two bad teams are going against each other and it just totally plays out? And it's like 7-3, 7-6 at half, something like that.
Well, I mean,
would that surprise you for this Sunday?
No, I was all my favorite bet of the weekend was over Green Bay, Washington. I said, this is these two teams are, it's going to be up and down. Green Bay's defense is that good. And I blew that one. And I used the free Park Sportsbook bet that I had gotten. I used the free bet on that one. I said, before we got in the plane, I'm like, oh, I love Green Bay, Washington over.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not as easy as it looks.
No, there's a reason Vegas exists.
I'm telling you.
It's because we're dumb.
They do well.
Jamie, I was told by Pam, has texted me. She says, tell Jamie that nasty girls are from Bucks County.
Ah.
They're naughty in a nice way.
Oh.
These are Delco girls. So now she's declaring war with the Bucks girls.
I grew up in Bucks County. I didn't meet any nasty girls.
You didn't meet any nasty girls? No. That's what she's saying.
I'm missing out, apparently.
You're missing out a little bit.
Damn.
You also said you're buying into this narrative a little bit that Gardner Minshew may end up being the starter.
Yeah, I am. Because I think Sirianni's going to get to a point where he might think in his own head, I could be a one and done here. And I think it's going to be a fight or flight mentality. And he is probably, look, we've already seen finger pointing going on down there. I think the finger pointing would go to Jalen Hurts at that point if he fears, you know, he could be done. I don't think he's a one and done guy just because that's too much egg on the face of the Eagles. So I do think he might go, hey, all right, Gardner, it's your turn. I want to show people my offense can work. Whether it works or not is an entirely different question, but I do think it's a possibility. Whereas a week ago, I didn't. Now I'm starting to think, oh, yeah, we could see Gardner Minshew play quarterback.
Do you remember the heat that the Eagles organization got ripped a lot for firing Chip Kelly? Chip Kelly, remember when that firing went down, they got ripped. And he fired him in season.
And he got hired the next season. So
One game to go. The Eagles got ripped for that and said, what are you doing? He had two winning seasons, and he is having one losing season, and they didn't even let him finish it out.
Yeah, there's a narrative that Chip was a complete failure here, and
it's not true.
Actually
false.
No.
He was 20-12, 20-13 if you count the playoff loss. His 20-13 his first two seasons.
He was fired because of how he handled himself within that building.
Yes.
Yeah. And not because of abject failure. And somehow
Howie Roseman survives with how he conducts himself in that building doing his job.
Well, let me ask you this question, going back to Jamie. If they do go to a Gardner Minshew, John, who do you think makes that call?
That's a great question.
The owner.
Yeah, right?
The owner.
I would be on high alert if my name is Nick Sirianni.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
No question.
I'm lining up a realtor.
Because he's interviewing Nick Sirianni all over again if he does that, right?
He's killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
He's basically saying, Jalen Hurts, you're not our starting quarterback for the future.
And Nick, I need to see if you're our coach.
Exactly.
There you go.
Totally agree. Yeah. If there is a change,
I think it comes from the owner. The owner
Absolutely.
Going, okay, I've seen enough. We know Jalen's not the guy. And by the way, Howie, you're the guy who thought totally overdrafted Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, he was going to go in the third, I think.
He was going late in the third or fourth day.
Well, they must have felt he wasn't going to be there when they picked in the third. That's why they did it. That's the only thing that makes sense.
Not necessarily. Or you could think you're smarter than the room.
I think it was more they liked him. Clearly, they liked him.
Well, I don't remember anybody being noted as like, well, they had to grab him now because this team was clearly looking to pounce on him. None of that came out.
But it was a trash quarterback class, so like desperation.
It wasn't good.
With quarterbacks is always there. So I think somebody probably would have taken him ahead of them in the third, but that's just a guess. I don't know.
And well, that's giving Howie a pass.
I don't buy anybody
in NFL circles.
Look, I thought Jalen Hurts was worth a risk of a pick, but it was a complete reach. If they loved him that much where they reached for him, then that's a failure on their part. I mean, that was a definite reach.
Complete reach.
I almost don't care who the quarterback was there at the time. I don't like taking a quarterback there.
It turns out to be a backup quarterback.
Could have gotten a veteran.
Well, yes, that was the goal of him being drafted, was to be a backup.
But not in the second round. It just made no sense.
Well, Carson Wentz is mentally fragile.
Well, we knew that.
So that's the mistake. Other way, if Jalen Hurts is a backup right now and Wentz is still the quarterback, that's a pretty good situation.
But it's not the situation.
But it's not.
Well, yeah, because Wentz screwed it all up.
Howie and Jeffrey Lurie had a lot to do with
it,
too.
They had a lot to do with it, too.
Oh, come on. The guy just signed a contract to be the highest paid quarterback in the league. Be a little tougher, man.
I get you. We got to do that. Got to have a little more toughness. Patty, you had an entire plane playing a game the other afternoon.
Yeah.
The Skittles Challenge.
Yes, and I'll bring in the Skittles in a moment.
Okay.
So I will show the YouTube crew if...
Okay, you're showing the YouTube crew.
All right. I went to a local store, and I bought the big boy bag of Skittles for the trip. And I don't even know how this got started on the plane.
And the Raisinettes and the Bob.
Yeah,
it started with Bob. Bob said he could name the flavor with his eyes closed.
I can.
That's where it started.
Yeah, so
what the flavors are.
Bob failed pretty miserably. You failed.
Oh, I failed, yeah.
I just did it 3 times. I got 2 out of 3.
I was wrong 0 for 2.
And then all of a sudden that morphed into the flight attendants. And then eventually the captain. The captain was refusing to actually leave the tarmac until he got it right.
He didn't. He came out after losing the first time, and you called him out in front of everybody.
Yeah, he was embarrassed.
He got it right the second time.
But he got it right the second time. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple game. It's we give you a Skittle, and you have to guess
the flavor.
If it's right or not. So I'm going to come in.
All right, here we go.
The board.
Come on,
I'll
Connor.
Give you guys your Skittle.
All right, we're going to give the Skittles now and see if we can just name it. This sounds like a simple game.
You would think.
You're just giving the flavor, or you have to get the flavor or the color.
I'm not expecting to be good.
If you get it wrong, you're out of the game. Jamie, you can go first.
Wait, what are the different colors?
He's not looking at it. Here are the other colors. What are the colors, Pat?
Yeah.
You just have to get the color right.
You've got strawberry.
Strawberry.
Lemon.
Lemon.
Green apple.
Green apple.
Orange.
Orange.
Grape.
Grape. There you go. 5. You got a 1 in 5 shot to be right. All right. Don't look at it, Jamie. Just pop it in your mouth, okay? Now that everybody can see it on the YouTube channel.
Don't look at
channel.
It, Jamie. Just pop it in your
I'm
mouth.
I'm looking at it. I know what color it is, all right?
Not the first time I heard that, Sal.
All right, Jamie, do it. Jamie's chewing it.
Grape.
Well, now we get it's
crap.
Wrong.
Crap.
Did you get the apple one?
You got green.
You got the green one.
I was between apple and
there
grape.
There you go. Bobby? Yeah. All right, we have one loser. Bobby, your chance. Close your eyes. Bob's doing. We see what he at. Okay, I see what he's got. All right. Bob's going to pop it right in his mouth. All right, he chews. This is good radio, too, when he chews. Mm-hmm. It's good. What do you got? What is it?
I'm going to go with lemon, yellow.
No, you got it wrong, too.
And I said no.
This makes no sense.
You fool.
This makes no sense. Okay, I'll go next. Show the color, Pat, to those watching at home.
I have some more.
They got that an opportunity there. So we are out of the competition. All right. What are the colors again? I think I got it.
Yellow, purple. It's the rainbow.
Green, strawberry.
Red, orange.
Strawberry. Yes. Wrong.
You're wrong!
I'm wrong!
You are so wrong!
Every one of us is wrong.
You're a loser!
All right, go to coach.
We have been hoodwinked. Bamboozled,
go to coach. We're all out.
Run amok.
We have to go to coach.
I think they all just kind of taste the same.
No, it had that a distinct taste, but we can't tell taste apart. We're like Connor. Okay, shows the color to the home crowd. All right, Coach.
I think it's just a general Skittle flavor.
Coach is going to chew it and spit it out because of his weird diet.
What he's going to do? All three of us can't tell the Skittle. All three of us can't tell. What do we got,
I
Coach?
Got green apple.
Coach is a winner.
How about that? I'm going to spit this out. Then.
All right, Coach. Coach, you're the winner.
Oh, come on!
He really did.
Are you serious?
One Skittle
gone.
That's it. He won.
Yeah, but he actually spit it out.
I always knew that him and Gabe Kapler.
Spit it out?
And Gabe Kapler are one and the same.
Jeez.
Can't eat that stuff.
So Coach spits.
Let's make it clear.
I would dominate all
of you guys in this game.
Did you do one? Just to prove
I did it earlier. I did.
Well,
Coach, I got 2 at 3.
Coach, can you do one for him? Can you take one out and just do it just to win this
game? Yeah, put your money where your mouth is, hot shot.
All right, here we go. One chance, Pat, not to look like an idiot on a radio show.
Not my first time.
All right, here it is. Close your eye, put it in your mouth.
Taste the rainbow.
Taste the rainbow. What you got? All right, Pat.
Oh, he's unsure.
Oh, he's unsure. He can't tell.
I'm a little unsure.
Okay, here we go.
Because of all the other sugar you've pounded.
It's either strawberry, lemon, green apple, orange, or grape.
That is orange.
That's correct.
Oh!
You want to keep going?
No, that's
we
that
room. We can do this till 10 o'clock.
No, we cannot do this till 10
o'clock. This is good radio.
Pretty there sure a go. Lot of people would tune out.
I can't believe
it's better than talking about the Eagles,
honestly. So do we not know flavors?
No, I think Skittles are a scam. Everything's a scam.
Okay, there is somebody that I'm going to laugh at here is that the... I just pulled up our YouTube, and they're saying, I think it's the same way with M&M's.
I think they're all the same, too.
No, M&M's are the same.
Those M&M's are all the same.
Skittles is just one Skittle flavor.
Skittles have flavor.
Nah.
The M&M is everyone's the same.
Starburst,
it's just a different
too.
Color.
Walking a right. fine line aligned to the
Jimmy,
people.
Jimmy, we just get no, correctly guess the flavor.
One person.
Do you want to do it again?
No.
We'll do it during the break.
This Skittles
scam. We'll do it during the break.
Pat is brought to you by PropSwap. It's your last chance to get in on baseball action with PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. If you know, Skittles are a scam. If you want to list the tickets, saying
Skittles are a scam,
kind of.
Pat, you made a trip. By the way, the trail mix that I was trying to describe.
That's not trail mix.
No, Christina wanted to know. Christina wanted to know the trail mix that you made because I said it was Raisinets.
It's a diabetes mix.
Skittles.
Okay, you know,
and what else?
It's funny. Jamie sits
Sour
here.
Sour Patch Kids.
Jamie sits here eating, you know, $15 cookies and has the audacity to judge me. So you get a variety pack of the peanut M&M's. So it's like white chocolate with almond peanuts and peanuts and all that.
Then you add.
Then you put in Reese's Pieces. And then you put in Raisinets. You shake that up. I mean, we're partying.
What time do you take your insulin?
Have we talked about Jamie's pound cake purchase?
Yeah, Jamie's pound cake.
We noticed it on the plane the other day.
Actually, my mother got that for me.
$18 for a pound cake?
$18 pound cake?
Have you ever had a Stocks pound cake?
No, but $18 for a cake?
I mean, guys spend more money on food.
Whoa. Hold on. Have you ever had a Stocks pound cake?
No, but the $18.
I've had a piece of it.
Nobody's answering the question.
Yeah, but $18 pound cake?
That thing will last us 2 weeks.
Bull crap it will.
Oh,
come on.
That thing is, that's worth every penny.
No, but you're not going to last 2 weeks.
$18?
Yeah, probably will.
You got breakfast?
You could eat that for breakfast.
Lunch? Oh, you get? I get a pound cake for breakfast.
Stocks is a Philadelphia treasure.
Like $18.
Sure it is. It's a lot of money for a pound cake.
And it wasn't that big.
No, it's pretty big.
It didn't look that big.
No, it's a pound.
Is that? I don't believe that's the rule. What does pound cake mean?
I don't know.
I always wondered about that, too, because it's not a
it's
pound.
It's pounded together. I don't know. It's condensed. It's thick.
Show's so stupid.
I love a pound cake. Yeah.
You get mad when we talk about your family money, too.
Guys,
stop throwing out $18 for a pound cake.
Like it's nothing.
Master Jamie would request pound cake
Stocks
for dessert
is
tonight.
Coonies are buying stale bread, and you got $18 pound
please.
Cake.
Jamie, what are you going to the day after store? When I lived in Exton, there was a Pepperidge Farm day after store.
I had one of those growing up, too, by
my
grandma.
Awesome.
It was great.
And you could not get in the parking lot.
Yeah.
It was always packed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you get the raisin bread.
I love Pepperidge
Farm. Oh, my God, their cinnamon raisin. And it was like 50 cents for a nice loaf of their cinnamon toast. Put it
Coach
in the freezer.
Knows stuff.
What do you know?
All right, pound cake. It's a rich cake containing a pound or equal weights of each chief ingredient, typically flour, butter, and sugar.
A pound
Coach
of butter?
Knows stuff.
Told you.
How do you make a pound? You got lucky.
A pound of butter?
I got lucky. I told you what it was, and it was right.
Have you guys noticed, if Jamie doesn't know something about food,
we're
he
done.
Just starts insulting other people. Oh, no, it's a scam. Oh, no, you got lucky.
Skittles are a scam.
Some people know food, Jamie.
Some people know food.
Yeah, I know Stocks pound cake is worth every penny.
All right, I'm going to ask you all to be open-minded. Can something potentially change our minds? That starts the 9 o'clock hour on this stupid show. The John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. Check out my friends at the Parks Sportsbook. Parks Sportsbook app is tremendous. Right on my phone, palm of my hand, whenever I'm watching live sports, I get the opportunity to bet, even if I miss the beginning of the game. I love that as you watch the money line change during the course of a game. Sixers leading early last night. You saw the line change. It moved away from the Knicks. If you had jumped on it then, you would have cashed in more than I did by just betting the money line of the game before the game started. Pro football, college football this weekend, chock full of action. The World Series, you can bet on game two of that tonight. Player performances, all kinds of things there for you. It's like playing fantasy sports on your phone. You will love it. Get a risk-free bet up to $500. Your risk-free bet refunded in site credit, and the website has terms and conditions. Go to theparkscasino.com/PA, or you download the app, use my promo code Kincaid. You got to be 21 in Pennsylvania. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The 9 a.m. hour of the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to bagster.com. Now, as we're sort of scolding Jamie over $18 pound cake, a revelation just came to me in my head that, yeah, I wouldn't buy an $18 pound cake, but I'm going to roll into Wegmans this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And get a pre-prepared dinner probably for tonight or the next night, some that I can just pop in the oven and, mm-hmm. and do for myself. And that's much more expensive than me just doing it, getting all the ingredients and doing it myself.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm willing to spend on what I'm willing to spend on
mm-hmm.
and not think that it's crazy.
Yeah.
The cake, I can't, I see, I'd eat.
I don't think 18's that outrageous for a pound cake.
Really? I really do.
Really? No, it's a cake. How but then again, this is the guy that pays $60 for a cookie.
Jamie, would you like a little pound cake tonight?
It was once, and my wife had a pregnancy craving.
Then you get her insomnia, and you lie.
Go get your cookies.
I would have cooked. I would have baked her a cookie.
This cookie
is perfect. Every cookie is perfect.
It's the greatest cookie in the world.
No, no. Remember when T-Dog made those cookies with the Fugazi Mexican? The Mexican vanilla?
She did that on purpose,
It was
though.
Terrible. I don't even know what we're going to get from that.
The cookie itself is not 15. There was a shipping that...
15 a piece.
You paid how much for four cookies?
$60.
It was like $56. That is so stupid.
It's terrible.
I regret nothing.
I know.
Well, then you're stupid.
Doesn't that speak to how good the damn cookie was?
No, it speaks to how stupid you are.
Have you guys seen the cost of anything these days? $18 for a pound cake is not that bad.
By the way, you ever put on that, like, MeTV?
No.
Like the old sitcoms and the old shows, like supposed to be the happier time?
Yeah.
There's happier time. When life was a lot simpler. By the way, the Brady kids called each other stupid on television. Today, would anybody call... If a character on TV got called stupid, there'd be protest outside of the networks to say, shut the show down.
I can't do that. Bad.
Children can be damaged by hearing... They called Jan stupid.
That's fine.
She was.
She was multiple, stupid.
But like
she walked right into
her,
that football.
They called her stupid.
No, that was not Jan.
That was Marsha walked into that.
Jan had George Glass.
Jan rode her bike into the portrait that they had made for their anniversary.
I was never a big Brady Bunch guy.
It's unbelievable.
And was anybody likable on that show?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Marsha was hot.
Marsha was adorable.
Okay. She kind of sucked, though, didn't she?
No, Marsha was fantastic.
Yeah.
She was class president. She was smart. Jan was the misfit. Jan would be like the serial killer.
I bet Jan had a better personality.
No, she didn't.
Yeah?
No, don't you remember the Brady Bunch movies? Did you not watch them?
No.
You didn't watch the Brady Bunch movies?
Maybe like a couple scenes here and there, but not
really.
Oh, my
God, they were great. They were awesome.
I like the guy that played the dad. He's a good actor. I like him.
He's funny. And then when her dead husband came back in the second one and was looking for the horse.
I don't think you watched the Brady Bunch movies?
Bob, you would laugh your behind off. They're great. Because Jan is seriously psychotic. They make Jan.
I can see that.
Jan hears in her head, Marsha. And she wants to kill Marsha. and then Marsha and Greg are getting it on. They're getting it on. Greg and Marsha want to, because they're brothers.
They're having their own pound cake.
They're not real brother and sister. They're not real. There's no blood between them.
They're right down the hall.
Especially when Greg moved up to the attic. Nobody would have known.
I prefer it hard.
Hey, what's the one thing, the ultimate prove it to me point that Nick Sirianni could do over the next 10 games to change the opinion you have of him this morning? So think of how you think of Nick Sirianni through 7 games. What is the ultimate point that could change your opinion? Not a vague, broad statement. A distinct point about how he goes about his job that could change your opinion. I've personally never seen a new coach in this short a window appear to be so underwater in so many different ways. Something should change quickly because this ship is already taking on too much water with the veteran players embarrassing him on the field and speaking behind the microphone and throwing their coaches under the bus. For me, it's simple. Mine is I need to see his approach to play calling of a game change. I need no less than a 40% run coverage the rest of the game, the rest of the year. And that does not include the quarterback being the leading rusher in attempts in a game. So the rest of the way, I need a 60-40 pass run. And that 40% run, the quarterback should never be the leader in rushing attempts in a game. That's what I want. What do you guys say? What the Puck with Jason Mertedis, by the way, coming up at 9:15 as the Flyers embark on a big road trip, 3-game road trip this week. Bob, what's your statement?
I want to go with this, and it's kind of a little more complicated. I would like to see a game plan that goes against the opponent. So we knew that the Las Vegas Raiders were a really bad team against the run.
Okay.
I would like to see a game plan that's geared towards exploiting a weakness. That's what I'll say.
I love that one.
And that means that it changes every week because not every team has the same weaknesses.
Right. So you want to see a flexibility.
Yes.
Attack the weaknesses. I like that.
I want to see something change and get creative on defense. You know, they're getting mocked around the NFL for being the most plain Jane vanilla defense without movement, without disguises, without blitzing. It's just a basic zone coverage weirdo move, and I need to see something change.
Does that change your opinion of Gannon, or does it change your opinion of Nick Sirianni?
Well, I have to go baby steps here because there's so many problems.
Okay.
I think Gannon's the biggest problem right now. Jalen Hurts and Sirianni.
But is that going to change your opinion of Sirianni?
Well, I have to see that before I can even get to Sirianni because he's, you know, Gannon would fall before Sirianni fell in the ultimate you know, way this is going to play out. So if that's not improved, then I can go, all right, I need a new DC. Now let's move on to the coach. I need to see defense try something different at this point.
And he can advocate that as the head coach.
Absolutely.
He say, do it.
Sure.
Get this done. Are you open to this?
I
had to force myself to say, I feel like my opinion on this man is already generated. And that I'm it's going to be hard to move me. It's going to be hard to get me to change my opinion on him. And I thought you might be the one that's the hardest one to move on opinion.
Well, I'm the one who threw the white flag.
Right.
So I'm out on him because after this many weeks, nothing has changed. But do I still have hope that something will change? Yes. Jamie hit on a lot of it. I need the defense to show me something, show me life. But mainly just it's a basic blitz. Just try to get to the quarterback. Dial it up. It's ridiculous. It's the most vanilla crap I've ever seen, and you're right. Nick Sirianni needs to go to Jonathan Gannon and demand it and stop being his buddy and be his boss.
I think that's your statement, Pat. Then really it's just at this point, he has to dictate what happens on the defensive side of the ball.
He needs to be a head coach.
How they attack.
Be the head
coach.
Not an offensive coordinator. Right.
And the other day he said he's the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, that was a slip up that
so who's
sent
the head
chills
coach?
Down my spine. Jeffrey Lurie.
I wonder.
I can't.
I know it's so flippant, but
no,
it's
I can't
it is
shake
flippant,
that Green Bay story from McLean 2 years ago.
Well, you should because it's a different.
I can't though. The owner's the same, and that's the baseline of that story. Was that ownership and Howie Roseman gave Doug a hard time because they ran it too much?
Well, then who liked drafting?
Then who liked drafting
quarterback
him?
In the second?
See, I don't buy that at all. Like, I don't buy it at all.
Oh, I buy it.
No, I don't buy it at all because they wanted. They advocated. Jeffrey Lurie knew they were going to go after Jalen Hurts. He knew it. He knew it before they did it. It was known inside the room they were going to go after him. That's all been documented. This is what Jeffrey Lurie knew.
Yeah, but a running quarterback is just like, or a mobile quarterback, I should say, is the new NFL. It's not like
That's ones that can throw the football down the field.
Running the ball with a running back is different than a mobile quarterback. And they were upset that they ran the ball too much.
Well,
that I can't shake it. It's been 2 years, and that story stays with me because they're the constant. The coaches will change, as we've seen. The ownership will not.
I'm sorry, Jim. You know what my second answer to your question is?
What is that?
What can he do to change our mind next year, Annie? My first answer is adjust to the defenses you're facing. My second answer was, and it was a close second, nothing.
You're getting close to being out.
I don't hate on the guy. I'm not saying, no, he sucks, get him out of here. I don't think he's an NFL coach right now. I just don't. And it's almost like, hey, buddy, we tried you. You tried it. If there's some way you could say maybe sit and learn some more and we'll try it again later. It's just not working now, and I don't know if it ever will.
Like Josh McDaniels. It took a year and a half for Josh McDaniels till Denver said, get the hell out of here. But there was also a cheating scandal going on, which is part of the reason why they sent him, you know, packing.
Yeah, I wouldn't even
get out of here.
Yeah, I wouldn't even be like, get the hell out of here. I'd be like, sorry, buddy, this just didn't work. You're just not ready.
A little pat on the head.
Yeah, kind of one of those
things.
That's
all condescending.
A little pat and say,
you'll bounce back, buddy.
Yeah, don't worry. Maybe someday, just not now.
Paul sends in an email and he says, I don't think it's going to happen with Hurts under center. I need to see a more conventional offense that has some flow that stays ahead of the chains. If he shows me that, then there's hope. If not, he's exactly what he looks like right now. It seems to be that then it's like you're then putting it on that Jalen Hurts is the problem. I do believe that Jalen Hurts has been screwed over by Nick Sirianni in this offensive game plan.
I think they're a terrible combination. I really do. I don't think they're a good combination.
Cliff Kingsbury, very much like a Lincoln Riley, could find ways to use Jalen Hurts and make him so much more effective.
Yeah.
And Lincoln Riley is one of the brightest offensive minds in the college game. And he took it to a different level. And this man has put him into a box that it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
And it doesn't allow Jalen Hurts to do things that might make Nick Sirianni look good.
But Cliff has a quarterback that can make every single throw. If he has Jalen Hurts, could it be better? Sure. It's a really low baseline, but
okay,
Jalen Hurts can't make every throw.
Okay. Greg Roman in Baltimore.
Yeah, sure.
Has a quarterback who cannot make every throw.
He's better than Jalen Hurts.
He's better than Jalen Hurts, but he wasn't.
He wasn't. He's pretty damn impressive.
He wasn't throwing the football when he came into the NFL. He's getting better. But he is a guy who Greg Roman finds a way that still allows him to have a passing game, still allows him to use the skill set. He's overmatched. This guy's running an offense that's completely simplistic.
Well, as you just said, Lamar Jackson took 4 or 5 years to get to that point.
And what did
Jalen Hurts isn't start 11.
And what did Greg Roman do for Lamar Jackson?
He started with a running game.
Gave him a running game. This coach ignores it.
I said week two. The foundation of this offense should be a running game between Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders. Anything else is stupid.
The Park Sportsbook app's got a great offer for you. New customers sign up now. Get your first bet risk-free. Visit parkscasino.com/PA. Promo code use Kincaid. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. If you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. The Flyers embark on a 3-game road swing. Jason Martinez joins us for What the Puck.
What is going on?
You got late nights. You got late nights this week.
I do.
But you're a night owl anyway. You play like men's league at night and stuff like that, don't you?
But not this much of a night owl. You know, 3 games that end at 1 o'clock in the morning, and then I got a lot of work to do after that, so I won't hit the rack until about 3:30 tonight.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. We scouted, Egan and I scouted Edmonton for you Friday night. Be
what
afraid.
You come up with?
Be afraid.
They have a guy that's pretty good. 97?
I just heard about him. His name's McDavid. What I couldn't get over watching him, Mert, was the idea that McDavid constantly finds himself alone on the ice.
He's so fast. He outskates everybody.
Even in the offensive zone, defense loses him constantly.
Yeah.
He's really good. But this team, Flyers team, as Egan pointed out earlier, this Flyers team's deeper offensively than Edmonton.
The Edmonton team?
Yeah, than Edmonton. They are.
Yeah. Their team, they definitely have more guys in the lineup that can score, but can you outscore Edmonton? You can't go on the PK. They click at almost 50% right now. That's crazy. And you go, well, that's going to small sample size. Well, last year they were over 30% in a 56-game season. So you just got to be disciplined. And, John, I mean, what the Flyers did in that last game of the homestand was seven penalties in that game. That can't happen. They killed off six of them.
Nope. Yep. Can't happen.
You're not going to I guarantee you, you're not going to kill off six against the Edmonton Oilers.
You give
I don't care if you give them 15.
You give them seven, you're giving up three, I think.
Oh, yeah. conventional math. Yeah, I'd maybe even go more.
It's not good.
Yeah. Jay, what's... McDavid's not the only one. It's Dreisaitl, too. So.
What's the most realistic scenario for this West Coast trip, in your opinion? In terms of getting points.
Edmonton, Calgary, and Vancouver.
The weird thing is they go from Edmonton tonight in Alberta to Vancouver and British Columbia tomorrow, and then they go back to Alberta on Saturday.
Terrible.
Why don't you just go south and take on Calgary tomorrow? But anyway, it depends, Pat. Is Ryan Ellis playing two of the three games? Because he's not playing tonight.
Is he Joel Embiid?
No. No, he's not as good as Embiid.
I know that. Right? No, but is it going to be one of those things where all year long we're going to be talking about like a load management?
It could be. And it's one of those things where you're going to hold your breath whether he's available or not because he means a lot to him. And he's a guy that, even though he's not a dominant player like Embiid, he affects a lot for the team and on and off the ice. So it's a big deal. If he plays two out of the three games, I think he's just got something nagging, and they're just trying to be cautious with it because you are in the beginning of a season, and you have the three games in 4 days. So you don't want to put yourself where he hurts it really bad and then is gone for 2-3 months, right? So I think that, say he plays two of the three, I think you know, 6 points is the tops you can get here. I think you come back with four, you're happy.
Jace, right now,
how you get them.
It's early in the season, so a lot of guys have room to grow and improve. If we were playing the stock game, whose stock is the lowest that has the chance to rise the most throughout the course of this season, in your opinion?
You want a penny stock that's going to turn into a couple of dollars.
Yeah, maybe a nickel stock, but something low that I think could, you know, maybe take that next step this year.
Okay. Well, I mean, look, Farabee's stock's not at a nickel right now, unfortunately, because he's in year three. He's got 6 points in four games, 3 goals, 3 assists. But he's a guy that has just gotten out of the gate incredibly well. And I think the you know, chemistry he has with Atkinson, the way those two have started the season, having another shoot-first guy on his line has helped him in a big way. I mean, JVR has 2 points right now. But I mean, he's a north of 30 guy. I don't think you're looking to invest in something like that. Maybe look at a guy like Oscar Lindblom, because Jamie, he's a guy that a couple of years ago was leading the Flyers in scoring prior to his diagnosis, and he's been through hell since. Right, fought cancer, is clear now, but he looked a lot stronger in camp in preseason. I think he's just getting his legs under him again.
It takes a while. I can tell you from personal experience.
Yeah, you had it.
It takes a while, believe me.
Yeah.
He'll be okay, though. I mean, he'll get back, and he may even be slightly stronger just from what he has to do to get back.
Because he's working out a different way.
Yeah. With the back-to-backs, obviously, I don't think we'll see Carter Hart for all three games of this West Coast trip. But how is he going to play out for the rest of the year? Do you think it's a case where he doesn't go back-to-backs or he goes, I don't know, 70 of 82? How do you think they're going to handle Carter Hart this year?
Well, definitely not 70 of
82. Well, 65.
60. Not even. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they don't go that high anymore, Bob. You know, that's Brodeur was kind of the last to get into that kind of number. Maybe Vasilevskiy gets close now, and he's so dominant, but he's younger still. But I think you're going to see 55 to 58 games out of him. You know, it all changes if he gets hurt or he struggles or Jones gets hurt. So that decision-making changes a little bit. But, no, you're going to see Hart tonight. In his hometown, he's from Sherwood Park, Alberta, which isn't far. And then tomorrow night, you're going to see Martin Jones, and then Saturday, presumably, you'll see Carter Hart against Calgary. So, but the sweet spot is probably once out of every 4 to 5 games, you need to play your backup. I know people freaked out when Jones played in Game 3 against the Boston Bruins, but had they not played him in that game, if they waited to get him on the road because they had a week between the preseason game and the season starting, it would have been 20 days between times that he played in a hockey game. And you're going to put him in his first start where he hasn't played a game in 20 days, and McDavid and Dreisaitl are going to be on the other team when you play him? You're crazy. You're not going to get a quality start out of that. You got to play your backup. This league is not, you know, playing 70, 80 games anymore like that, the old school stuff. They've done studies that the effectiveness of a goalie and a backup is considerably down in back-to-back situations. Remember, forwards leave the ice during the game. They take shifts. Sure. The goalie never leaves. I know he's not engaged the entire time, but it is mentally draining because he's on the ice the entire time, and there's a lot of elements to it. So you got to play the backup.
Flyers Oilers tonight, 10 on the Fanatic. Jason Martinez, thanks for checking in, buddy.
Boys, have a good week. Go Eagles.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let's hope the Eagles get better. We need another team in this city to play well. Flyers.
Yeah.
Flyers, we're counting on you. We're begging you.
Yeah.
Seriously, begging you.
Philly's hot stove.
Yeah. Nah. Oh, my God.
Sixers.
By the way, you're the youngest person in the world to use hot stove.
Oh, yeah?
Right?
Like that's such an old...
Oh, I love it. I have a text chain with some buddies that's called NBA Hot Stove.
Oh, my gosh.
I love the hot stove.
You're weird.
The hot stove. Yeah. I thought that Paul Hagen used to write the hot stove. Yeah. He would do the hot stove in the winter. They used to have Oh, man.
Love the hot stove.
Paul Hagen. Freaking legend.
Yes.
Legend writer. All right, we got so much to come, including a recap of last night's Sixers game in case you missed it. You know they won a couple quarters last night. I think they won three, maybe.
It was just the one. It was just one really bad thing. Really, really bad quarter.
Other than the shooting, Mrs. Lincoln, how'd you like the play? It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. My friends at Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spa want you to de-stress. And God knows with our sports teams being this terrible, it's the perfect time for you to get in for a massage or a relaxing facial for just $69.95. They've got 57 spas in Philadelphia, Delaware, South Jersey, and the Lehigh Valley. So you can book an appointment right online at handandstone.com to get your massage or your facial for just $69.95. Now, remember this too. They've got the 5-minute facial lift with New Face microcurrent technology. It is amazing. Plus, you can get the waxing, facials, massages, and more. Hand & Stone even offers a Men's Express beard facial. It's great. Gift cards are available at handandstone.com. Get into your local Hand & Stone, but better yet, just pull up handandstone.com today to get your massage or your facial and get those gift cards for the holiday season.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Bob brought it up. He goes, man, this show flew today. We're already at 9:32 in the morning. It's amazing. I want to thank our friends at Staples Connect. It's a new world of possible with innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners. Explore what's new at your local Staples store or staplesconnect.com. When you think of a girl named Marcy, you think fun? Like Marcy sounds like a fun name, right?
Yeah.
Marcy's not going to be...
I've never really thought about it. The name Marcy, though,
doesn't sound like a stick in the mud. And is Marcy a nickname? Because Marcy sent me a little note here with a little bit of a scolding. She says she considers to me to be a new breed of radio host in this city. She thinks that I'm very kind. She thinks I'm insightful. And she thinks that I have a very friendly vibe about me. She did not appreciate this morning that I
think he's an ass face.
That's what Mike Missinelli thinks. Different than Marcy. She did not think that I was very nice to Adam Schefter this morning. So that's the second time I got that from somebody. That she says, you jumped Mr. Schefter this morning and I was surprised. You usually are more very good at listening. Then you respond and make your point. You jumped him this morning. And I think it wasn't very kind to your guest. Oh. She said, I love the show. I listen every morning for around 45 minutes on my drive to the office. She said, I listen to sports radio because of my husband, because I want to share that in common with him.
Oh,
isn't that sweet?
What a great wife.
Married 27 years.
Wow.
She wants to have something in common, so she listens to us. She finds us to be the most engaging show she's ever listened to because of all the different points of view and all the different characters that make her chuckle.
Great. Yeah.
I said, Marcy, so I sent a little text to Adam Schefter because I think my bride also felt that I was a little rough on Adam. And I sent it to Adam, and I said, Adam, I've been told that I jumped you this morning. If I did, I'm sorry. And he goes, I didn't feel that way at all. He goes, all good. So I guess he's heard worse. Sixers lose last night. They got jumped. Now, they started out well, but what I cannot understand how Joel Embiid does not go into the paint and live in the paint.
Because when he's hurt, he plays lazy.
Lazy's a rude word. I mean, that's a tough word. That's an allegation.
I'm not calling
lazy's
him
an allegation.
I'm not calling him lazy, but when you're hurt, you change your style of play to a lazier style.
Okay.
Because it's just natural. It's your body's reaction is to, I can't go as hard here because this hurts me. Let me find another way to do this. I'm not calling him lazy,
you're
but when you
that.
Play with an injury, I think it leads to a lackadaisical style of play.
Yeah, I agree with that. I absolutely do. And then when things get down, also, the injuries, you know, seem to be probably, I don't know, lingering a little bit more, maybe more severe than it feels when things are going well. But, man, you have to find a way to overcome it. If this is the route that you chose, if it was him, the team, or together, that they chose that he has to go through this without fixing something, because if it's a torn meniscus, it's fixable.
Yes.
Like, you don't just
it is fixable.
It's in some sports, and I told you guys that I talked to some trainers and stuff, and they said in their sports, we can let it go for a while, and guys can play on it. But you had a whole off season.
I was told, though, that if he had it repaired, we most likely would have been talking about Joel Embiid truly coming back in, like, December.
That's fine. I'd rather have a fully healthy
Embiid. Would have missed that. If Joel Embiid had it operated on, I was told he wouldn't have ever been playing preseason games. He would have been ramping up during the month of October and November to get back in. So you would have sacrificed probably like 6 weeks of the season without him.
Perfectly fine, as opposed to a full season of him playing through pain. I mean, his quote after the game, I have it right here. It's not an excuse. I'm just going to have to push through.
I'm never going
to. It's game four.
I'm never going to understand how he looks in a mirror, sees himself, and says, well, you know what's good? Me putting up threes. I'm never going to understand the mentality of being that kind of player.
Because he's that
talented.
Yeah,
but that should be one tool in your belt. That should be the occasional thing. I've never understood it.
Yeah.
The biggest kid always dominates.
I mean, look, I've told this story a million times. What do you do when you go to a high school game? You constantly look at the other team walking into the gym and see how tall they are. See how big they are.
Yes, exactly. Getting off the bus is a term.
Yeah, you know. The whole injury thing is just so, so strange.
It's
look, if you have a chronically bad knee, we've heard of that. Guys do. You know, you have a chronically bad knee, you have to play through it. Not only is it just the fourth game to say it's hurting and I have to play through it, it's only the fourth game to even be bringing it up. Like, we know you're going to, or you know you're going to have to play through it. It's only four games. Why are you talking about playing through it already?
I'm officially shook with Joel Embiid that he's already talking about playing through pain.
Opening night, he talked about it.
He heard it on opening. His first game of the season. I just don't look. I understand why athletes never want to get the surgery because nobody likes surgery. Nobody wants to willingly do it. It rarely ever works out where you try to just play through it in rehab. Surgery is almost always the better option. We went through it with DeSean Jackson. We've been through it with Sir Anthony Dominguez.
Correct.
I
think of him.
You just have to accept your fate at that point. Surgery is better and probably will make you come back stronger than rehab will. It's just a reality.
I always just look at somebody and say, they don't play like their body looks. And that frustrates me when somebody has been given all the physical gifts to go and to dominate, to physically dominate, and they won't do it.
It's rare you see Embiid dunk on somebody where he's not full on charging the basket. to the point of no power game. He rarely will posterize somebody from down low in the block. It's rare.
Yeah,
and it's and bizarre.
Again, and I think it's a missed opportunity in your career. And it's been forever.
I mean, I took some heat on you know, people coming at me saying, what are you talking about coaching? He just doesn't want to do it. We do have to remember one thing. Joel Embiid has now been playing in the NBA for, what, 6 years? He sat out 2 years, maybe 5 years. He sat out 2 years. He only played a half a year in college. And he only learned the game, started playing the game a year before that. Yes, I think getting a power game is something that needed to be taught to him because he was a skinny, tall kid growing up. And then when he got powerful, he needed to be taught
right.
that game. I don't think, and I was around him early in his career, I don't think he's been properly or enough taught how to play a power game.
Jimmy in Southwest Philly joins us. Jimmy, good morning. You're on the Fanatic. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen. Always a pleasure to listen to you guys.
Thanks, man.
I'm listening to you guys, right? And I agree wholeheartedly, right? I don't think Embiid's going to make it through the year. And I just want to point one thing out to you. Every time he makes that move where he fakes the three and drives the lane like a madman, I cringe.
Yeah.
Because of the way he comes down. I wish he would stop doing that. Like, there's ways that he can protect himself. Every time he does it, let me know if you guys know the move I'm talking about, and have a great day.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, and now he's getting into the habit of Euro-stepping almost every time he does that. Pump fake three, one dribble, and then it's the Euro-step. Now, look, you can make the argument, if he goes up strong and tries to dunk on guys, he's going to have to come down, he's going to have to land, as opposed to Euro-step, it's a little... But I don't know, man. I just think this guy's got to get a power game. And it'll probably take more wear and tear off of your legs than it would put on it.
Do you think he doesn't have a power game? And something that just went off in my head was more of the lines, if he had grown up from fifth and sixth grade playing hoops, and he was always the biggest kid, and he would always take it to the hoop.
He would have watched Shaq.
Exactly. And he would have dominated.
I think it would have influenced him
that way, because even if he was a skinnier, taller kid, they still, you see these kids, they take it to the rack constantly because they can.
Yeah, but it's just so different though now. Like I told this story before, John, before I knew you. When I would run my own basketball camp and I threw the balls out there and I'd have, and the kids would come in, I'd just let them shoot up for a while. You know what they do? They're all so attracted, almost allergic, that they have to get out to that 3-point line. They're allergic to the lane. It's I gotta shoot jumpers, shoot jumpers. I don't know, but...
You say when you walk into the gym now, all anyone's doing is shooting.
That's it.
That's all they do.
From deep. Shooting from deep.
From
nobody's
shooting
in the lane practicing drop steps or anything like that.
Yeah, Steph, Clay, and Dame, and the distance they shoot from and the accuracy in which they do it, they change the NBA forever.
Kevin, one of our listeners, sends in an email, and he says, it does make me wonder about Joel Embiid if the decision for him to not have surgery may have been directly related to the organization thinking that they would be without Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
That they didn't want to be without Simmons and Embiid.
Fair thought, but you can't let that rule your day because, again, a healthier Embiid come December is better than an Embiid that has to play through pain all season.
Yeah, I could get it.
Is the knee injury maybe even just a chronic more thing that they don't want to tell us?
Well, that's then why would because they wouldn't have given him the Supermax.
Well, maybe it came about last year,
right after they signed the Supermax.
I'd find it
hard to believe that
our Pets' heads are falling off.
It's terrible.
It's basically where we're at already, 4 games into the season. We're having fun here. It's Philadelphia. Sports are great. We really enjoy it.
Patty, I've never heard that expression.
Well, if you said enough times.
That's from Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, I never heard anybody use it other than in Dumb and Dumber. Or Dumb and Dumberer.
I never watched it.
Yeah, I'm not even a huge fan of that movie, but I use it all the time.
You use that one?
Yeah.
Petey!
When things aren't going great, our Pets' heads are falling off.
Sold them for a bag of marbles and a couple baseball cards.
KGL Skin Study Center is recruiting for an atopic eczema study for adults in Newtown Square. Get paid up to $375 to volunteer. Go to KGLSkinStudyCenter.com. Jim Carrey, still...
Legend. He's falling off a cliff.
He's too young to be legendary. Like, no, as far as his career.
He's probably... 50,
he's 550, right?
No, I think he's closer to 60.
Oh, really?
He's closer to 60.
I'm 60. Off on that. I would have guessed 52.
He is 59.
I would have guessed 52. Okay.
And he'll be 60 in January.
He's just too young.
And Living Color was a long time ago. Fire Marshal Ed.
You can do what you want to do.
Or Fire Marshal Bill.
Fire Marshal Bill.
Yeah, he's a legend.
And
I'll never say a bad thing.
The best skit from In Living Color?
Homie the Clown.
Homie the Clown.
Yeah, Homie the Clown was great.
Man, Men's on Film.
I don't know.
Two snaps with a twist.
And like Damon a circle Wayans. Snap or something?
Oh, it's a circle snap with a twist. That was Damon Wayans.
That show was great.
That was a great show. It was like, Lamon, we're going to watch this movie tonight. And he goes, that movie, hated it. It
was, oh, that
it was
one.
Great. Hated it. Awesome movie. Hey, in Cooney's Corner, when this isn't there, he says the Sixers are really stinky.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Hated it.
Yeah, well, we just hit on it a little bit.
Yes.
When you don't get the game from Joel Embiid, you're in real trouble
with
this
team. So what do you do going forward
here? Tobias Harris had a pretty decent night last night. 20-plus points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists.
That didn't feel like it.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Exactly my point. When you don't get Joel Embiid at the rate that you need to get him, which is an awfully high one, you just don't have enough around this team to combat it. And when I wrote this last night, it was up in the air whether he was going to play last night or not. And that's where my thought was going. Then they do play, but he doesn't have a game. So you look at the secondary and pieces that surround this team. It's just not enough. And look, Tyrese Maxey, for as much as we all like him and all,
he should be point guarding the second unit.
He should be point guarding the second unit. They need...
That's the key.
Yeah. Yeah, they need another point guard. If he is on the first unit, then you need another point guard for the second unit because you just don't have that yet. But this all comes... And we said it before the season started how much weight Joel Embiid would have to carry on his shoulders. It seems to be even bigger now. And not just because Ben Simmons isn't here. Who else is picking up slack? I mean, Jamie, you put it perfectly. Even though you get that good numbers production from a Tobias Harris,
he's always quiet when he does it.
You just don't feel it,
which is weird.
You know,
I mean, it almost feels like
24 points. It should be.
It
like,
almost feels like empty calories.
But his are always
his
quiet.
Contributions are empty calories many nights.
It does feel like that, right? So I don't know what it is. I don't know why these guards disappear in games.
Seth Curry has an opportunity right now to step up and make himself a large contract after next season. Because he has an opportunity here that wasn't previously here. They need a scoring per game quota filled. And he's the only guy I look at that I feel like can comfortably fill it. And I don't know why you would... barely incorporate him in a game plan.
Yeah, it's just baffling to me. The other night when Danny Green didn't score, and the first thing I look at is how many minutes and how many shots. 19 minutes and one shot.
Man, it's ridiculous.
That can't happen.
I've never seen... I texted you this last night.
How does that happen?
I've never seen such a great shooter airball so many threes.
Yeah.
When he's off, it's off.
Yeah, when his feet aren't set. Now, last night, early on, Seth Curry, they had a fast break. It was kind of a 2-on-1. And I think it was Stibe. It might have been Korkmaz, whoever it was. Got him the ball, kind of on a dead run in a corner to Seth Curry. And he just didn't have his feet set. And he goes up and launches it. And out loud, I said, that's just not a good shot. Why? You got to get your feet set. If he and Danny Green don't have their feet set.
They look like a deer.
Yeah,
they're not JJ Redick.
It doesn't work. Yeah.
Because JJ was great at not being set and getting his shots. He had a weird way to contort his body to still square up the basket.
Yeah.
You contort yours.
Yeah.
My gosh.
So, when Joel Embiid is off, they really need to find some secondary scoring and takeoverness from some people.
Takeoverness?
You like that?
Real words,
man. You're just creating terms now.
I'm just making words up. That's
Bob,
what I do.
Bob, you're right, Bob. I mean,
takeoverness.
Yeah, well,
whatever.
But they really are tough to watch because they're running doubles at Joe, right? And you know, they don't have a point guard, right? Maxie's not really a point guard. He's always been a combo.
Right,
exactly. Young player. They desperately need someone else that could break down and create. They get nobody to create. Look, they had issues with Ben, right? You know,
right.
What helped them was they were so big that they would board, they could get out on breaks. Like, you know, Ben was good at transition games, but they had their same flaws.
But the flaws still got them a number one seed. I know in the playoffs they're exposed, but they're still, to go through an NBA season to be a number one seed is a hell of an accomplishment.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not trying to diminish that.
Right, I get it.
But, you know, I mean, they do lack, like, they lack that secondary. Like, it's a shame because Damian Lillard is exactly what they need.
Portland's 1-2. Portland's 1-2.
Good. That's losing. Keep losing. Hey, did you get to hear Schefter with us this morning, Adam Schefter?
I did.
When Adam started, I jumped him a bit. He started with the people have no expectations. You know, like people have too high of an expectation. Do you believe in any way, shape, or form in this city? You have more conversations with fans than anyone in this city in our medium. Do you believe fans had unrealistic expectations coming in this year? No. I think everybody was in the same boat.
No, listen, there was a period of time where I think enthusiasm for the upcoming season kind of made them a little delusional. But
not
I
crazy.
Said 7-10. 10 losses.
I'm teasing you. But
he's drawing you offside.
Yeah,
Do you know. What the hell
he
you
He knows
know?
How to do it.
But I agree with you. I think they were not... That's a wrong, and you're dead right. It's not fair. What we're seeing now is not, it's just not competent.
It's terrible.
See, that's the problem. Like, you lose games, whatever. Nobody's expecting you to win all the games, right? Nobody's expecting you to make the playoffs. But what we're seeing, particularly on the defense, is sheer incompetence.
I would love to see Anthony Gargano and Dan Campbell doing a coach's show. He's flat out crazy.
Yeah,
but you know what,
him.
Though? Everything you're reading in the Detroit papers, his players are enjoying coming to practice. They have the Bloody Wednesday or something?
Yeah,
like
great.
He does. He creates
it's
this fun. Atmosphere where the guys are excited to come to work.
Yes.
And no one's throwing him under the bus in his own locker room.
No.
Extreme
no
one's pointing football fingers. Guy mentality.
Yes. Yes.
But it's funny. It's like, when Baldy and I did the meat locker, it was hyperbole. Right, like, you know, the meat locker, especially today.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we're going to go so far opposite and beat a meat locker, meatheads, football guys. But it was supposed to be fun.
You guys are fun meatheads.
Right, like that was what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be fun.
Right.
And that's what you're seeing out of Dan Campbell. What we see out of Nick Sirianni and his staff is it's just they're not ready. They're inexperienced and they're incompetent right now. They're a bad staff.
I don't think the NFL head coaching job should be learn on the go.
I do not
believe you hire somebody and say, oh, well, he's learning the job. NFL head coach should be plug and freaking play.
Yeah.
It should be a coordinator or a head coach at another level. You are not. It's not a job you learn on the go.
What I don't understand is how they allowed Sirianni to come in with no experienced guys.
That's the thing.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, listen. If you're a young head coach, I'll give you some latitude, but you can't have a young, inexperienced defensive coordinator,
special teams guys.
You know, when Sean McDermott took the job in Buffalo, Andy told him, hire as many experienced guys as you can. And Sean hired 4 coordinators and 1 former head coach.
Right.
I mean,
that's what you do.
You know, that's why he was able to build the thing. He had a strong structure.
Gentleman pointing out to me, the Nick Sirianni must have been listening to my constant haranguing because he's not didn't use the self scouting over and over again. They moved on to a new terminology. Yay, stayed away from self scouting. I said, don't give me that much credit. He goes, people start to get when they start getting picked on what they're saying. Someone says, don't say self scouting.
Yeah,
because I don't know who's if there's no one in that room to self scout with experience.
No.
I mean, when Sean McVay was a head coach, first call he made was to 72-year-old, you know, Wade Phillips. And Wade Phillips self-scouted his offense and said to him, Sean, wrong. Sean, here's what I'm going to do.
Exactly.
Counterpoint. They can't do that.
But it goes back to, you know, everybody thinks they're reinventing stuff.
No.
You know, I hear the Phillies, you know, the Phillies aren't all like that shift to the baseball piece of it.
Yes.
Really hasn't really come.
Not yet. Hopefully it's coming. I got to have faith. Cuz Radio's coming your way next, and he's dressed like $1 million. If you're not watching on YouTube, you're missing out. Remember to support life-saving cancer research. Join us and our generous partner, the Davis CPA Group. And I would say the Davis CPA Group, you want to hang with them in Vegas. Good people. Make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today. Go to 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives. Game time Thursday. More fun and frivolity tomorrow. We get ready for the Lions. John Kincaid Show leads you up to Cuz Radio coming your way next. Have a great day, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.